It's showtime.
It's Friday!
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, a brand new month, another month of winter gone. Well, I mean, Northern Hemisphere, that's what comes of being Northern Hemisphere centric. You got a little less summer in the, but, you know, hi, Australia. Given the photos I've seen of the fish kills in the, in the river basins and the flying fox bats falling out of the trees, a month of summer gone is probably not that terrible a thing with y'all either. So, but January's gone, February begins. Probably several groundhogs, several little rodent vermin will be tormented tomorrow. I'm hoping the little bastard doesn't see his shadow. Yeah, if he doesn't. And he shouldn't see a shadow here tomorrow. It's supposed to be cloudy. So, who knows? Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. It's Friday on the front porch. A new month begins. And we've got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. Brother Deacon Asa has gone and done a redesign on the website. So, it's just something to be cognizant of. There's not a lot of big changes. The player is still right there at the, once you get to the website, the player's there on the front page, but if you want to get to the chat room, you have to click chat room. If you want to send an email, you have to click contact the program. If you want to get the podcast, you click the podcast link. It just makes the page load better, faster, and, you know, saner. Hey, thanks for the reminder, Sparky. By the way, you got to click the chat room link now, and that'll, you know, you get with the name and the password, and you jump in, and, you know, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole, Little Thunder, Sailor Chick, Otto DeShot, Squeaky, and capably moderated, of course, by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, has chosen not to fold space this Friday on the front porch and is not Man Cave. He is existing in one space as Sparky. So come on in. The conversation's fine. Here in about an hour, we will get Friday on the front porch going. And there's a little wrinkle there, too. Over at... over at the website, headon.live. I understand why you... over at headon.live, there is the link to the Friday on the Front Porch Skype group. That is the breadcrumb trail. And Sparky wanted me to make sure I mentioned that, because, and you can also find it at the Horn Facebook page, okay? And once we start the Friday on the Front Porch group... Sparky isn't going to be able to add anybody because for some reason or another, it makes his contacts list go away, if I understand correctly. So there's, if you want to get into the Friday on the Front Porch group, again, go to headon.live or go to the Horn Facebook page, and you'll find the direct link right there. Okay. And let me see here. So it's real easy to find, either way. Let me see here. I'll also do this real quick. Run over to Twitter and put it up there. Make it easy for people to get in. Sorry about the dead air. You'll have that sometimes. And away we go. Cool. So it's on Twitter as well now. If you follow my feed on Twitter. Now to the stuff that we usually deal with at the beginning of the program, the thank yous. We have to thank our subscribers for the first day of the month, and that includes our buddy Rusty. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you very kindly to Peter. Thanks, Peter, for being a partial sponsor of the program. Thank you to John at Home Dirts. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thank you to Kay. Thank you, Kay. And thank you very kindly to Joseph. Thank you one and all for being first of the month partial sponsors of the program. Okay. As well, over at Patreon, we have thanks to send out to Albert in North Carolina, to Alec in Portland, to Brother Deacon Asa, to Barb in Minnesota, to Barbara in Philly. Thanks to Brendan in, don't have an address there. But thank you, Brendan. Thank you very kindly to David. Thanks to Eric in Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Vania, right? Let's see. And by the way, no one... okay. Thank you very kindly to Irwin. And thanks very kindly to our buddy Foam Cups and in Oregon. Thank you to Frank. And thank you to Frank, different Frank, our buddy Fab. And thank you to Glenn. Thanks to Hamilton and Greg. Thanks to our pal Horst. Thanks to John and Jason, Jeremy in Vermont, Jim in California. Thanks to John in Maryland, and John not in Maryland. And thank you very kindly to our pal Johannes and to John. We've got a fraternity of Johns here. Not that kind of Johns. You know what I mean. Thank you to Joyce. Thanks to Karen. Thank you kindly. Thanks to Carl in Texas. Thank you to Kat. Thank you very kindly, Kat. Thanks to Kimberly in North Carolina. Thank you very kindly to our pal Peggy in the sandbox. Thank you to Marty. Thank you very kindly to to Matthew. Thank you to Michael. And that's Matthew in Northern California. Thanks to Nick in Ohio. Thank you to Ron in Delaware. Thank you to Rhonda in Virginia. Thank you to Robin and Rico, Scott, Sonny. Thank you to our pal Steve in New York. Thanks to Stephen in Wisconsin, Susan in Massachusetts, Terrace in California, and thanks to the Nubian in California. So that's our Patreon patrons. Someday, maybe we'll have 400 of them. I don't know. But thank you, all of you, for being supporters of the program via Patreon, and thanks to our PayPal, our PayPal supporters as well. And thanks to our United States Postal Service supporters also. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. So where does that leave us to begin this evening? Yeah, that's kind of where I was going too, hung like Jesus. This business with Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. A guy who used to be a reporter with like that website that rhymes with light and fart, went and looked up Virginia Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's medical school yearbook. He went to medical school after graduating from the Virginia Military Institute. You know, if you ever visit the Virginia Military Institute, they've got Stonewall Jackson's horse there, or at least they did when I was a kid, stuffed. I don't know if they've got Lee's horse as well, but anyway, the things you find out. But he went to VMI, and then he went on to medical school back home near Norfolk. And you know how yearbooks are. You've got a page. And on Ralph Northam's page, you know, there's a picture of him sitting next to his restored Corvette. There's another nondescript picture of him. But then there's this other one. Oh, dear God. Will we ever, ever, ever get past this crap? Damn. And, of course, the excuse being offered is, well, I mean, it was 1984. No, sorry. Yeah, there he is in a checkered short sleeve shirt and jeans and a cowboy hat, and there he is in a tweedy looking jacket and tie for, you know, like a yearbook portrait, the aforementioned Corvette picture. That's not what has people roiled and wrought. Now, there's a caption to this particular photo. I'm talking about a photo on the radio. There are limitations. But, there's this photo, and it's captioned. It says, Alma Mater, Virginia Military Institute, interest, pediatrics, quote, "There are more old drunks than old doctors in this world, so I think I'll have another beer." Nothing particularly controversial about that either. I mean, after all, it was Ben Franklin who said, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. So, no, it's the photo that the caption's under. Yeah. It shows, on the left-hand side of it, it shows two people standing together. One presumes they are people. The person on the left is wearing checkered pants, what appears to be a white shirt, a bow tie, a sort of Panama-looking hat, and what was probably a navy blue blazer. Presumably, this was a picture taken during his medical school days, whoever it is, because the person with the checkered pants, the white shirt, the bow tie, the Panama hat, and the navy blue blazer, although it's a black and white photo, it's Virginia. I guarantee it's a goddamn navy blue blazer, okay? I just promise. This person has gone all out. They are in complete blackface, and they're even in black hand. This person has blacked his hands and is holding a can of beer. The person, we don't know it's a guy. Why don't we know it's a guy? Because the person standing next to the guy in blackface is completely done up in the robes and hood of the Ku Klux goddamn Klan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A guy in blackface. The person in the Klan robes is also holding a beer. I wouldn't want to leave out that because. So, his quote is again: "There are more old drunks than old doctors in the world, so I think I'll have another beer." One of those people is presumably the current Democratic governor of the Commonwealth of Old Virginia, Ralph Northam. And this is a problem. It's not a problem from the standpoint of, oh my goodness, there goes our hope of beating Donald Trump in 2020. I hadn't heard any presidential rumblings from Ralph Northam because he just, he just got elected a year ago? But... one Virginia legislator has already run out and said, listen, I was a handful when I was 18. And then went so far as to say, nobody wants their past dug into. And the man has done a lot of good in his life. And he's, you know, served patients who had no access to health care. And he was a doctor in... he was a doctor in the military. He was in the army for a lot of years. Okay. And what's interesting is we don't know this is a dedicated act of blackface. There's no way of knowing if that's Ralph Northam in the blackface, or if it's Ralph Northam under the Klan hood. I guess we'll maybe find out at some point. And honestly, hey, it was 1984 is not an excuse. Because it's 1984, not 1884. The yearbook photo comes from Eastern Virginia Medical School. It's his you're not really a senior in medical school. It's his final year of medical school, his graduation year. Mm-hmm. Virginian Pilot newspaper article does make the point of saying that both are holding canned drinks. We don't even necessarily know it's beer, so canned drinks. And here's where it gets problematic. The governor's office did not immediately respond to requests for comment Friday afternoon. Meanwhile, the chairman of the Virginia Republican Party, a guy who I'm sure is pure as the driven slush, named Jack Wilson, said, "Racism has no place in Virginia." Wait, are we talking about the same fucking Virginia? "These pictures are wholly inappropriate. If Governor Northam appeared in blackface or dressed in a KKK robe, he should resign immediately. Ah, God, why? I'm right there with Monique. Monique says, please explain to me why blackface is funny anymore. I'm seriously asking this. What is this obsession with black people? We're only 13% of the population in this fucking country. God damn, only 13%. I get it, Monique. As the boys under the bridge up the holler say, this just beats cats fucking. Blackface and minstrelsy as a quasi-art form exists in this country in one form or another up into the middle of the 20th century. Over the holidays, we talked about the movie Holiday Inn. In which Bing Crosby appears in blackface. And, the minstrel show is a thing, and you can look it up and read about it if you wish. But it's centered on the mockery of people of color. And just as slavery is the original sin of this country, you can find that mockery all over the country and all throughout our history. What I'm trying to figure out is, and I want to be clear about this. I, for instance, belonged to a fraternity myself in college, and my fraternity, it was called Phi Gamma Delta. Phi is also properly, that's the stick with the circle around it. Most of us probably know our Greek letters. Phi is more properly pronounced Phi. Gamma makes the G sound, so Phi G. And we were called Fijis. And for years and years and years and years, the fraternity's annual great big spring bash was something called, surprisingly, Fiji Island, at which members of the fraternity would wear grass skirts, coconut shell bras, paint themselves purple, not quite the same as black, write Fiji across their chests if they weren't wearing the coconut shell bra. And the overtones were obvious that, right, fright wigs. And it's indefensible. I never did it myself, but I damn sure went to the parties. And you got to figure this was some sort of costume affair. And someone, apparently Ralph Northam, was uncreative enough that he and a buddy decided to show up in blackface, in country club checkered pants, and Klan garb. One, where did the Klan garb come from? Because this the Klan robe, even, it's got the mantle over the shoulders. The tall, pointy hat. And while there's no artistic, there's no way to be certain, it looks to be an attempt at some sort of racist humor. Who knows? But by the way, before he starts talking about Ralph Northam, the dickhead who is the head of the Republican Party in Virginia? Well, before he starts talking about Ralph Northam, he really should maybe have a conversation with the Republicans who maintain that great goddamn big humongous Confederate battle flag and there on I-95 near Richmond. And again, the whole thing comes out of a white-wing website called Big League Politics. It landed about 2:15 this afternoon. And the way they headlined it, and I'm not excusing it. This is odious. This is disgusting. And no, he wasn't 18 years old. He had graduated. So, what is it? Undergrad is 4 years, so that makes him 22 graduating VMI. Which, by the way, is the school that was the military academy for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Before he became a general in the Confederate Army, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson was a professor there, teaching artillery. And so VMI has its own racist heritage. But so he's 22 coming out of VMI, and just like the Citadel, you get a military commission if you graduate from there. But then he goes to medical school, and that's 3 years. So he's 25 years old. This is a 25-year-old, 24, 25-year-old young man in either blackface or Klan robes. Let's see. Silent R. Lamar says, please don't get mad at me. The dude who dressed in blackface, the blackface doesn't bother me. To me, the blackface tells me you don't hire black folk. Remember, a white man dress in blackface because they want to be black, because if he hated blacks, he wouldn't dress in blackface. Yeah, there's an aspect of mockery to Silent R. I think we can't evade that. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Just to make absolutely sure, are we sure that the Klan robe isn't actually one of those PhD-type graduation robes that have the hoods? Jack, I'm pretty sure because I've never seen anybody... It's a dunce cap. That's the most hilarious thing about the fucking Klan getup, is the hood, the hat, is a dunce... It's pointed. It's a dunce cap. It's stupid. Jack then following up and says, oops, I guess if there's no person's face showing, it wouldn't be one of those graduation hood things. No, it's not. Kevin in Colorado Springs asks, could you please expound a bit on the Fishkill story you briefly mentioned at the top of the program? I must have missed it, or perhaps I subconsciously blocked it out when I heard it. I will. But I think at some point this evening, we're probably going to have to talk about this and ask, and you know who doesn't get to chime in with an opinion on this? And I realize I've just staked myself out as a complete hypocrite here. Sometimes you have to do that. White folks. White folks don't get to talk about whether showing up at a party in Klan robes and blackface, either or, is racist, is insensitive, is hurtful, or even if it's acceptable. I can't imagine anybody saying, "Oh hell yeah, sure, why not?" I can't imagine. But white folks don't get to white-splain. Well, it was 1984, and he's a fine man, and everybody... No! The only white person who really needs to be heard from in this story is Ralph Northam. And the only thing that needs to be heard from Ralph Northam is a sincere, humble, comprehensive, real apology. And then it is up to the African-American community in this nation to declare whether or not they accept it. Plain and simple. What's surprising, most surprising to me, I suppose, is the idea. There's no way he didn't know it was out there. And I guess he just figured it would. We can't get in his head. How does it even get in the yearbook? See, that's the thing. When you start drilling down into racism, you don't just look at the person doing the racist thing. You look at the people around the person who enabled the racism. Unless Ralph Northam was the editor of that yearbook, how in the fuck in 1984 does that photo get into a student album that whose purpose is to recall that particular academic year at that particular academic institution in perpetuity? How is that? So I got a question for whoever was the editor. What made you think that was okay to publish? And then I got a question for whoever was the head of the medical school, the dean or whatever. What made you think that that was an appropriate representation of your institution of medical science teaching? With racism, there's always plenty of there's plenty of blame to go around. And of course, all over social media now, you've got Republicans, woo, Robert Byrd, Bruga Bruga. This is in no wise a defense. It is merely an observation. When Republicans want to talk about Democrats with racist pasts, they have to go into the past. On the other hand, I can show you a picture of Mitch McConnell standing in front of a huge Confederate battle flag, accepting some sort of goddamn award, and grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush from this century, from maybe even this decade. We can talk about Steve Scalise having to apologize because he went and gave an address to a white supremacist group. Again, in this century. Not 1984. Not 1948. This century. And again, that's not a defense. All I'm saying is that it appears that even though racism remains pervasive throughout our culture, maybe our side of it is, well, the learning curve isn't so godforsaken steep. Ron and Raleigh with an observation. What you have to understand, Bob, first thing, all of this is being taken out of context. Second, the Republican Party is the bastion of racial tolerance. Those Democrats are the party of racism. That's exactly how it's going to be played for as long as this thing remains in the news cycle. Now, context, although Ron is being a bit facetious, context is important. The reason they went out and dug this up is because they've gone to war with Ralph Northam for having the temerity to declare his belief that a woman's reproductive choices are strictly a matter between her, her physician, and if she happens to subscribe to it, her God. And now they've accused him of being a baby murderer. So this is why that, in case anybody's wondering. Kelly tells me the yearbook was the student's edition, not the school's. Well, it's published in the name of the school. But I get the point. But still, the question needs to be asked of the editor. Who thought in 1984 that it was okay to publish that? Because you just take it and you go, hey, Ralphie, you sure about this? Because this doesn't look like a good idea. And, you know, we've got, well, it'd be interesting to go through that yearbook and find out if there were any students from the community of color. And say, you know, find another picture. MSNBC now reporting, Monique tells me that Northam has confirmed that it's him. And so, we're back to what I suggested. The only white person who needs to really be heard from on this is Ralph Northam. And the only thing that needs to be heard is an apology. And by the way, I'm sorry if anyone is offended. That non-apology apology thing, that ain't going to cut it. No, sir. Mm-mm, no how, no way. And then the African-American community could decide whether or not they consider the apology. And particularly the African-American community in Virginia can declare whether they think the apology is sufficient. Seems fairly simple to me. You? And there's another story that run. Let me go back to the question that Kevin in Colorado Springs asked. Because of the record-breaking heat in Australia, there have been massive fish kills, hundreds of thousands of fish, just boop, up on top of the rivers. Because there's not enough oxygen in the water for their respiratory systems, you know, gills, to work. Plain enough? Yeah. I mean, I'm not being a smartass there, but because climate change. And yes, the flying fox bats. Dropping dead out of the trees. Too hot. Can't live. And the roads are melting. This was all happening at the same time that Donnie Dipshit was tweeting that it was so cold and we sure could use some of that global warming. Right. An article showed up in The Guardian today. Oh, that's a brilliant observation. Monique pointing out with regard to the Northam story. Well, Black History Month is off to a wonderful start. Thanks, Northam. It is Black History Month. And Maybe this is a good time for a... is there anybody out there? I mean, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Hannity, Alex Jones, any of those freaks who are willing to make the argument that blackface is okay? That Klan robes at costume parties are okay? I, because I would think, but then again, I would think that having high school senior white boys take pictures giving the stiff-armed Nazi salute, is we could have consensus on that, too. But apparently we can't. It wasn't just Wisconsin. There was another school. What was it? Illinois, maybe? Indiana, perhaps? Another group of kids caught giving the Nazi stiff-armed salute. Jesus. But can we just have an agreement that there's no time, any time ever, where blackface and or Klan robes are okay? There's no costume party. There's no fraternity party. There's no med school party where showing up in either blackface or Klan robes, or being hyper-ironic, in blackface in Klan robes, is okay. It just isn't. On the other hand, however, the story from The Guardian that I mentioned, published today, from the West Coast, an organization called By Any Means Necessary was subjected to investigation by the FBI. The FBI was spying on By Any Means Necessary. The Guardian article refers to it as a leftist group. They showed up to protest a white supremacist rally, By Any Means Necessary did, and one of their members got stabbed. Okay, are we clear on that? By any the member of the leftist group protesting Nazis, white supremacists, one of their members got knifed. So what did the FBI do? They turned around and investigated By Any Means Necessary for potentially having conspired against the civil rights of the Ku Klux Klan. I shit you not. In terms of the FBI investigation, they listed the goddamn Klan as being the victims of crime. They considered the By Any Means Necessary protesters of the Klan and white supremacy, by the way, as potential terrorists. The report contains the following, quote, "The KKK consisted of members that some perceived to be supportive of a white supremacist agenda." What? Among other things, the FBI said that BAM, By Any Means Necessary, that their positions taken against rape and sexual assault, no shit, and their advocacy against police brutality both constituted evidence that they were terrorists. 46 pages of a report on By Any Means Necessary. A guy named Mike German, who's a former FBI agent and an expert on the violent white wing, was consulted by The Guardian. He said the report was astonishing. He said it ignored, quote, 100 years of Klan terrorism that's killed thousands of Americans and continues to use violence right up to the present day. The description of the KKK should be an embarrassment to FBI leadership. Shanta Driver is the national chair of BAM, By Any Means Necessary, and said the FBI's interest in BAM is part of a long-standing policy, starting with their campaign to persecute and slander Dr. Martin Luther King. They have a racist history of targeting peaceful civil rights and anti-racist organizations while doing nothing to prosecute the racists and fascists who attacked Dr. King and the movement he built. Meanwhile, Republicans out there are asking, well, why in the world do we need an anti-lynching bill? It ain't like anybody's getting lynched anymore. Except for, you know, Jussie Smollett. Jesus. The FBI considers the Ku Klux Klan to be a victim of a nonviolent group that opposes white supremacy. The protest took place in 2016. The investigation thereafter. So this would be, just for people keeping notes at home, this would be the James Comey FBI. And there is a racist continuum and a racist streak broader than the Mississippi River that runs through the FBI. So, well, you can see why I find all of this disturbing. As James in Illinois asks, you want a list of Republicans whose racist and homophobic incidents are in the future? Shouldn't be too hard to round up. They can't help themselves. It's not exactly born this way. Because nobody is born racist. As the song from South Pacific goes, you have to be carefully taught. Note coming from Patrick, check out who's the Virginia Lieutenant Governor. I know who the Virginia Lieutenant Governor is. He's a brilliant young African-American man who probably, among other things, pissed off the Republicans because he wouldn't let them, he actually brought the great-great-grandnephew of Robert E. Lee to the Virginia Senate, as well as another individual who was a direct great-great-grandson, and brought them there so that they could not honor Robert E. Lee long about the same time as the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to worry about this goofy shit and could just focus on fixing our more and more and more broken country? I'd kind of like that. I guess I'm funny that way. Go figure. Oh, and I neglected to mention something. We are back. It's the first of the month, so we're back to fundraising again. And this is the first day of the month, and the first day of the month, thanks to our buddy Laborman Gary, and our pal Ralphs, and one anonymous contributor. The first broadcast of the month brings Shirley's Memorial Challenge in memory of our buddy Bruce in Wisconsin, who put that forward years ago. I had occasion over the recent bitter cold to fondly and warmly remember Bruce again. Because Bruce it was who turned me on to the warmest hat on earth, the Stormy Cromer. And it was Stormy Cromer weather a couple of days ago. And you can't get cold in a Stormy Cromer. Bruce loved them, and he turned me on to them. We were up in up at the Lac Couturier reservation for some meetings related to the assault on the Pinoki Hills there several years back. And they had him in a store, and he said, "Bob, you got to have one of these. You got to get one of these, Bob. Your head will never be cold." And he was right. I've got the super duper version that's lined with Thinsulate. You can't get cold in it. It'll stay warm even if it gets wet. God, it's good. But I was thinking fondly of Bruce, and so consequently, Shirley's Memorial Challenge is on the table. There is a $200 matching challenge out there, and if we can match that this evening, then you know if you kick in 10, it'll be turned into 20. If you kick in 20, it'll be turned into 40. Hell, if you kicked in 200, it'd be turned into 400, but that can only happen once. But anyway, Shirley's challenge is on the table, and with the reworked interface there on the headon.live webpage, just scroll down and all the PayPal stuff is right there. Okay, so hopefully we'll make the challenge this evening. And thanks again for making the challenge happen. Let's go back to some emails. You realize it's all a Chinese hoax. What I can't figure out is where they put the giant air conditioner up north and the giant heater down south, going back to the... Yeah, it's downright inscrutable, isn't it? Ron also noting, now you see what we have to deal with. Pity the poor Klan members. That fella threw himself aggressively into that poor man's knife. I know. Bob Ewell fell on his knife 62 times. Right. And yeah, I remember the story. Flavio pointing out last Halloween, some parent thought it was okay to have his kid dress up as Hitler. I know. And I mean, why can't we reach consensus that Klan robes, blackface, and Nazi uniforms aren't okay, except in the most narrow of circumstances, historical purposes or historical reenactment in like a movie or something, like the Nazis in Inglourious Bastards, that sort of thing, or the Klansmen in Spike Lee's Black Klansmen. But that doesn't mean that it's okay just to show up at a party. Jesus. I know. So here we are pretty much at the top of the end of the first hour, top of the second. And it's getting on to time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and go to our little meeting in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. I'm just curious... Ralph Northam has said, yeah, that's him in the picture. Here's the curious part. Ralph Northam has not said which of the people in the picture he is, the Klansman or the guy in blackface. Huh. But he did issue an apology. Let's see if this passes the smell test on the Apollometer. I am deeply sorry for the decision I made to appear as I did in this photo and for the hurt that decision caused then and now. This behavior is not in keeping with who I am today and the values I have fought for throughout my career in the military, in medicine, and in public service, but I want to be clear, I understand how this decision shakes Virginians' faith in that commitment. I recognize that it will take time and serious effort to heal the damage this conduct has caused. I am ready to do that important work. The first step is to offer my sincerest apology and to state my absolute commitment to living up to the expectations Virginians set for me when they elected me to be their governor. That's, anybody want to critique that? It seems pretty comprehensive, but what's interesting is the clause in the first sentence, and for the hurt that decision caused then and now. That decision caused hurt then? Then why did it get in the yearbook? Were there apologies then? It will be no loss to Virginia or the nation if Ralph Northam were to step down. There is a young, brilliant, capable lieutenant governor who is a Democrat who is more than competent to step into the role of governor of the Commonwealth. Thomas over at FYI says the apology doesn't sound anything but written by an aide. He should resign and fire the aide. It's, well, it's what the standard I was looking for was, I apologize if anybody was offended, because that's how Republicans apologize. Thomas adds, Nazis are also okay in any movie where Harrison Ford kicks their ass. I particularly like it when the Nazi backs into the spinning propeller blade. What a great place for a Nazi to be. Thomas says also, please remind people Saturday and Sunday, we play Dr. Bill at 4 p.m. on FYI Nation. That's 4 o'clock, not doing anything. So check it out. It's very, very, Dr. Bill is amazing. And you can also, of course, always get his podcast by signing up for the RSS feed over at whiterosesociety.org. And a reminder before we go to the front porch, just so y'all know, if you want into the front porch discussion, go over to headon.live or go to my Twitter feed or go to the Facebook horn page and click the Skype link, because that's the only way to get into Friday on the front porch now. Sparky can't add you. Our buddy Todd says, the Ruby Ridge incident was just an anomaly. If we look back at the history of the agency you're talking about, let's look at Quantico fudging evidence to support small-town law enforcement assignations. Let's look at COINTELPRO. Let's look at trumped-up charges against mentally disabled people as terrorists. Look at the founder, and you'll find the agency's mission statement. Todd adds at the end, no barbecue for interlopers. Damn straight. Mm-hmm. One wonders how long this will go. The Northam thing. And if he will stay in it. Meanwhile, though, Republicans need to really, really, I'm not kidding, shut the fuck up. Because people who live in glass houses surrounded by burning crosses and who goose step to the kitchen for a cup of coffee should definitely not throw stones. Is that okay? I mean, does that work as a... Yeah. And as Monique points out, yeah, it's up to his constituents, so I'm going to leave it at that. But it will be, let's see, we just bailed out of a nuclear treaty. Nuclear missile treaty, land-based nuclear missiles, intermediate range. And we're probably going to be talking about this all weekend. So, yeah. All right, then. Let's run over to the... thank you. Thank you very kindly to our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan, for jumping in to the into Shirley's challenge this evening. We now have only $180 to go to finish that challenge off and get February off to a roaring start. Now over to the old holler tree we go. Hey, Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
His mic is off.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, hey, Rick.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So that's Ralph Northrop. He's a Democrat, right, in Virginia?
Yeah, Northam. Yeah.
Northam. And he was photographed in an old yearbook with, blackface or something?
We don't know whether he's the guy in the checkered golf country club pants and blackface or if he's the guy in the Klan robe.
Okay, but in either event, you know, it's not appropriate.
No, it's not appropriate, but Rick, I think it is... Well, you know, two white guys sitting around talking about race.
Yeah, and Tracy's not even in the room yet. So
yeah, Tracy tried to Skype me, and I'm hoping she's listening and knows to go over to headon.live and click on the Skype link there on the main page.
Okay, yeah, because the last thing that we need to do is do a bunch of white splaining, right? I mean, obviously Northam is like an asshole.
Yeah, but so. There's a question, and I'm not going to give an opinion on it. Is there any nuance? Is there any degree of difference? If we take it as, hey, doing blackface and doing Klan robes are both awful, is there any sense in which one is less awful than the other?
Well, I don't see any redeeming social value in either of those things, Bob. I mean, that's sort of the standard used to determine whether something's pornography or not, you know? There's really no redeeming social, artistic, aesthetic value, whatever the hell the standard is in doing that. So, you know, this is when he was in college. You know, it's unfortunate there's no mechanism for like letting the voters decide whether to kick the guy's ass out for doing stuff like this. You know, I mean, I don't know if Virginia has a recall option, but.
But they damn sure have impeachment.
Yeah, they do have impeachment. That's true. Well, you know, I think it's up to Virginians to decide what they want to do. You know, do they want to have this guy continue as governor or not?
You know, I would not see him stepping down in, say, the same light as a lot of people looked at Al Franken's decision to leave the Senate.
Yeah,
there's no question here. He's admitted he's one of the people in the photo.
Right, right. I mean, he's done this himself.
Save us, Tracy. You're in the group now. Please save us from our whitesplaining. Help.
Yeah,
Bob, I was gonna ask real quick, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Tracy. Hey, I was gonna ask you real quick, Bob. I threw in 25 towards today's program. I don't know if you got that yet.
Didn't see it. Let me check. The email notifications are have been real sketchy with PayPal. Let me just check that directly.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and I made up for the last Friday, so the no, 25 additional.
Okay, so we are 45 to the good on Shirley's challenge. That's freaking awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick, and again, thank you, Dave, in South Carolina, Stan. Tracy, please help us.
Yes, Tracy.
Am I still there?
You're here. Do you hear me? No, you just muted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good now.
Okay, that was weird.
It's a Verizon commercial, folks. We can hear you fine, Tracy.
That was a cosmic flash.
Yeah.
I'm in my driveway, and since I'm close to my house, my Wi-Fi is competing with the cellular. So I have to remember, because that drives me crazy. Have you guys ever noticed that, you know, sometimes you have to turn off your Wi-Fi for your phone to work?
Yes.
Yes.
And vice versa. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you know, I'll be somewhere where Wi-Fi, you know, you get Wi-Fi or free Wi-Fi or whatever.
Where do they unroll 5G? It's going to get worse.
Oh, that's coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 5G.
Fuck you.
well,
not me personally, I hope. I mean,
and the horse you rode in on as well.
Tracy's my buddy. I know she's
simple. You know, with no loop.
I don't own a smartphone.
When he says, you know, when he starts to apologize, you know, with the hurt that it may have caused back then. And I'm like, so you knew back then the shit was wrong.
Yeah, that one, you know, just kind of, that one leapt off the page.
It's like, you knew back then that it was wrong. And like you said earlier, Bob, I would love to get a hold of that yearbook to see about, like, were there any black folks in that graduating class? Because was it the graduating class? Yearbook?
It's his third year of medical school, which is the final year of medical school.
Right. So, So I'm pretty sure, I mean, we are talking 1984, so, you know, black people have been emancipated for a little bit anyway at that point, even in Virginia. So I'm pretty sure there might have been maybe one or two black people in his medical school class. So
at the very least, you'd like to hope so.
You know, I would hope and pray that there was at least one black person in that, you know, in his medical school class. Or maybe even two, if we're lucky. And it's just like, it is so fucking exhausting to be black in this country, to have to constantly be bombarded with this bullshit. It is like, you cannot tell me that nobody knew, that he didn't know that it was wrong, that it was racist, that it was insensitive, that it was bigoted, that it was just, you know, stupid. But it's that privilege that is, you know, and white male privilege is so blindingly obtuse. It's like, I am so engulfed and encaptured in my privilege that whatever the fuck I do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I offend. It doesn't matter who I hurt. And I don't, it's not, you know, I don't even think it's at the level of I don't care. It just doesn't affect me. It doesn't, you know, because at the worst that's going to happen, because it's like you said, this guy is probably not going to step down. Probably not. Because Republican because white, because mad. Because it's like, well, you know, I apologize, so that should be it. You know, and like you know, how many black people live in Virginia that have to look at this man and say, so this is my fucking governor. This man, you know, 30 some odd years ago decided that it was okay to, so I didn't see the picture. So there's one, somebody's in a Klan's in which picture? So there's one guy, there's two different people.
Yeah,
so there's one guy in blackface.
Yeah,
one, the
guy in blackface looks to be ironic because he's kind of dressed like some old white dude with the checkered pants from a country club.
Mm-hmm.
So the internal gag there is, of course, black folks in country clubs.
Right, yeah. Or he could be the caddy. Don't caddies dress stupid too?
No.
Okay.
And then there's the Klansman. And I find it telling that he's not willing to say which one he is.
Yes! Oh, so he never even said which one. He said he's just in the... Okay, so I'm in the picture.
Yeah, one of those is me.
But I'm not going to tell you which one. You have to play...
So, before I white man myself into a hole in the ground, you tell me, Tracy. I mean, remember, this is your job, okay?
Because I'm the spokesperson for all black people.
Yes, yes.
Can you handle that, Tracy? I know it's an awesome responsibility.
Is Todd around? Because, you know, I'm only a female, so I need a brother.
Oh, shit. You did not do that.
Come on, man.
You did. You so did not just do that.
This was in med school. This guy was in med school. That's what surprises me. You know, you'd think if you're in med school, you'd have some sensitivity towards.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, it's you're going to VMI, the West Point of the Confederacy, along with the Citadel. Shucks, boys will be boys, and it was plebe weekend or some such silly shit as that. So it's Virginia and it's VMI and it's Stonewall Jackson, so let's do blackface and Klan robes.
Wait a minute. They were probably drunk.
No, were they drunk? No,
plus, remember, he's a Democrat, not a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, here's the deal. Dr. Mangala went to fucking med school.
Wait a minute. Don't say another word, Tracy.
True.
Hold on. Don't anybody say anything.
Hit that bell.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but there's the question: is there any degree of is it worse if he's the Klansman than if he's the guy in the blackface, or is it, or is that even a conversation worth having? You just say it's all odious as shit and move from there.
It's odious as shit. You do not get a pass. Well, I just wore blackface, and you know it wasn't that bad. It's the guy that was wearing the Klansman's uniform, you know, regalia. That's the bad guy. But then again, the motherfucker hasn't said which one he was. So now I'm thinking he was the Klansman.
Kind of does make you think that way, doesn't it?
Yep.
Because there's nothing he could do or say that can make this a situation even better. But he does know that, you know, on the hierarchy, what is it, the hierarchy of needs that, you know, the first thing you need is safety and blah, blah, blah. On the hierarchy, if there's such a thing of racist bullshit, blackface, you know, and being in a Klan, okay, the chances are of me or any of my ancestors being lynched by somebody in blackface, not probably going to happen. But the chances of me or any of my folks that look like me being linked by the motherfucker with the Klans out, with the, wearing Klan shit, yeah. So if you're going to do a hierarchy of racism, I'm taking, you know, the Klansman for 200, Alex, as the top of the pile.
And see, there like I said, there are details involved with this. The fact that the guy in blackface went to the trouble of doing his hands all the way above the wrists.
Oh, he went full blown. He just didn't do his face. Doesn't that shit rub off? Man, yeah. You gonna shake somebody's hand, isn't that shit gonna come off?
That's full blown intent, man. There's no way you can spin that at all.
Like I said, there's no way to spin it. But like I said, if you're gonna go with, okay, let's see, which is worse, blackface They're both horrendous and despicable and disgusting, and throw in any more adjectives that you can, because like I need vile vocabulary for the words that I need. Howsoever, again, if you're gonna do like okay, like I said, on the level of safety, I'm gonna stick with, you know, like I said, worst case scenario, the guy in the blackface is probably not gonna attack me. He might do a minstrel show. You know, he might say, ma'am, he might start breaking out in his rendition of Mammy and stuff like that.
Way down upon the Swanee River.
You know, or Old Bear River. You know, swing low, swing cheer, whatever the case may be.
My old, or, you know, if you want to get right down to it, you really can't beat my old Kentucky home for straight up white supremacy.
Right. Or Dixie, you know, or Swanee, you know, whatever. So it's like, so if we're going to go there, like I said, if I'm going to hang out with somebody, I'm going to hang out with the guy that the worst case that he's going to do is probably just, you know, start, you know, singing, you know, Mammy and all that. Now my homie with the Klan's outfit on, I'm worried that if I'm driving along those, you know, the road in down south or anywhere where there's no lights and a field, I'm going to be worried that the next thing, when he pulls up behind me and I'm thinking, oh, I've been saved because, you know, my car broke down and here's somebody coming up behind me. When he gets out with his Klan regalia, I'm looking and saying, okay, I'm going to die. And I'm looking up into the field to see where the cross is being burned. I'm just, again, on my level of safety, as Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I'm worried at this point because I'm talking to somebody that's wearing a Klan's outfit. And anybody that will wear a Klansman outfit, I can't work with you. I can't give you absolution. I cannot. And so that's why I'm thinking, since he never said which one he was, and the guy, here's the best part, is so obviously this picture has been circulating in the media. So you got these two idiot white boys, and some, you know, one of them is the, you know, which of these things don't belong. So the guy who's the, you know, black in blackface is sitting there going, fuck.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's absolutely damn true, because there's some other guy out there that's going, well, my life's down the toilet now too. Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks, right? So we got two motherfuckers that got shit to explain. You know, what is it, Lucy? You got some explaining to do.
By the way, this may affect our deliberations a little bit. A note just came in from Mike in Cascadia. Ralph Northam, comma, quote, Democrat, unquote. Hey, Bob. Hey, Mike. Ralph Northam is a Democrat who voted for G.W. Bush twice. Maybe that's enough said.
What kind of a Democrat is that? That's like saying that.
The same ones that voted for Reagan. The same ones that voted for Trump.
That's like saying you subscribe to the Hippocratic Oath when you're like Dr. Mengele, to use Tracy's example again. You know?
Yeah, Dr. Mengele took the Hippocratic Oath.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin comes to mind on that one.
You know, oddly enough, Dennis, I was just now thinking, just before you said it, wonder if there's any pictures of Joe out there in Klan robes or blackface.
Huh.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Here's a question though, and again, I realize that I'm on really shifting sand here, because old white guy, newly 56 years old now, downhill side of 50.
Welcome to the club, Bob. I just turned I turned 56 in October.
Well, thank you, thank you, old man.
Yeah.
I get the prize. I turned 64 today.
Oh wow! Hey, happy birthday!
Oh, happy birthday, Otto.
Yeah, thank you. I feel old.
Happy birthday.
You don't sound old.
Oh, you know, I'm in good health. I'm worried about my sister. She has over 40 years of smoking cigarettes and. she's had heart surgery, and I don't know if she's going to last long. So, but she's 67 this year, and I'm 64. I'm the youngest of the family, man. Oh, but geez. I tell you, oh man, I tell you, it's nice not to have to worry about money to be retired. I don't think I could handle another job. But I was going to say, Joe Lieberman is another turncoat. That guy really pisses me off. That was Al Gore's running mate, and he's more Republican than any Democrat that I know of.
He suffers from Zell Miller disease.
What's that?
You don't remember Zell Miller at the Republican convention?
Oh, I barely remember that.
Oh, and by the way, a note coming in from Monique. Thank God for Tracy and Scary. He's a pediatrician. How many children of color has he treated with this? Whew! Tracy's so right. We have to deal with this in our minds constantly. So, and like I said, I'm on shifting sands here because I feel like I really don't have any validity in the conversation.
Yeah.
But as the Virginia legislator, and I think he's a member of the Senate, said, he said, "Well, I was a real pill when I was 18 years old. We can't just be throwing out perfectly good representatives who care about blah, 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 done good work, yada, yada, yada." You know what? With everything taken together, Ralphie probably should step down and let the guy who's never been in a picture in fucking blackface be governor of Virginia. There's an idea. Let the guy who's never been in a Klan robe be governor of Virginia. Let the guy whose black face is his own black face be governor of Virginia.
So who was the last governor? Andrew Young?
No.
Oh.
What?
Andrew Young.
I screwed that one up. Never mind.
Yeah, Tim Kaine was. Mark Warner was at one point. I can't remember, but the lieutenant governor, and I mean, he really earned some street cred over this past MLK holiday. You sent me that story, didn't you, Tracy?
Yeah, wasn't it Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee?
Yeah, it was Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee's descendants showed up to make sure that none of the toxic old white men could stand up and talk about how we will adjourn in honor of the birthday of Robert E. Lee.
Motherfuckers.
Oh, no.
Oh, they didn't say that part, but you know, I just kind of added the motherfuckers part. I just did again. I just saw the picture. Who somebody put it in the chat. It's like, did the other guy have, actually, not only was he in blackface, but he had on an Afro wig, too?
Looks like.
Oh, man.
Justin Fairfax is Lieutenant Governor of Virginia.
Justin Fairfax is a badass.
Yeah. And he's more than ready to become, he's more than ready and more than capable of being Governor of the Commonwealth.
Well, Todd is listening to the show. He just, when I said the first part, I guess when I said Dr. Mangala went to med school too. He said, Tracy just made me spit my food out. I laughed so hard. And then the next check. Well, it's a good thing. Wow, it's a good thing you are there to represent. I mean, it's not that, again, it's just, again, exhausting being black. It is exhausting trying to explain, not even explain to white people, because I don't have to explain it to you guys. But just the, you know, I had a friend, one of my good friends is a gay white man, and he doesn't really present as gay, but him and his partner, they are definitely not in the, you know, they make damn good money. I think their combined income is maybe at least $250,000 a year, at least. And so, you know, they have that white male privilege other than the fact that they're gay again, but, you know, nobody would know that they were gay until, you know, they start kissing in public or something. But he was asking me, and this is when I love my white friends, but then I do it a palm to my head and start rubbing my temples. It's like, he's like, I just don't understand. And he's from Texas, so he says it with a Texas accent. I just don't understand why we just, that's just not equality in the world. Why people just can't have civil rights. And I'm listening to him and I'm like, oh, you sweet thing, you. And then I just said, because there always has to be somebody to be put upon. There always has to be somebody to be, that has to be scapegoated. There always has to be somebody, a group of people that you can blame the country's ills upon. Because see, if you don't have somebody to scapegoat, if you don't have anybody to look down upon, then you actually have to start doing the work about seeing what's really going on in this country. Then you have to start dealing with, wait a minute, there's really, this country is fucked. And, you know, even though I'm white, but I'm from Appalachia or the Ozarks or what have you. Oh, I heard your show last night, Bob. What did you call it? It wouldn't have been the Ozark Hillbillies or the Beverly Ozarks or something like that?
Right, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Just didn't have a ring.
Yeah, because I said, and because capitalism, because there, you know, we have to have people to feed upon. We have to have the drones. We have to have the pawns. We have to have, you know, the people that are less than, in order for other people to feel better about who they are. Because you got, you know, Jan and I probably make more money together than most of the people in, you know, the Ozarks or Appalachia or what have you. You know, but because because I'm a lesbian and black and she's Jewish and a lesbian, these people can still look down upon us because, you know, they're white. And that's sad. That is sad because we're all in the same boat. We're pretty much all a paycheck away from oblivion. But
in the same boat, you know, we're exactly. And the boat is the planet.
Right. The boat is the planet. The boat is, you know, where mountaintop removal has, you know, leveled the earth part of the country, where, you know, plastics and all those sort of that shit is going into oceans in my part of the country, or, you know, fracking or whatever, you know.
The left coast of America periodically catching fire wholesale. Fire.
You know, but the whole up and down the whole fucking state. Seriously, the whole fucking state. There is not one part of California that is safe from wildfires, as evidenced by the last round of fires in Northern California and then here in L.A. And, you know, so it's like just we are on the precipice, and nobody seems to understand that we are all in this together. And until we decide to say fuck capitalism, fuck the 99%. I want you motherfuckers, you know, like you said, what is it, Maybelline, and what's her husband's name?
Emery and Marvelline.
Marvelline. Emery and Marvelline, until they realize that you will never be a millionaire. Because, see, wherever your state you're from, they made sure that they don't fund education. And so, and they don't fund healthcare, so you're going to die probably of hypertension and diabetes and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, maybe, you know, Marvin and Emery or whatever, get out of their parking lounges and say, you know, you guys are fucking us. We need to stand up together and get people like Mitch McConnell. Well, we got rid of Paul Ryan, but he ran away with how many millions of dollars. Until we get rid of all these people, until we start having unions, until we start, you know, at what point wasn't it like more than 40% of the people, of the employees of this country were in a union? And how many is it now? Maybe, what, 10%?
Yeah. If it makes it to double digits, it's a miracle. And, right. You know, as we, I can't, like I said, I can't even begin to touch any, but what you say about exhaustion, Tracy, is so true. Because, I can feel a millionth of a percentage point of it. And what I mean by that is anytime I hear the word West Virginia or Appalachia in a news story, I immediately turn into that guy in the meme, the black and white photo with his head in his hand, you know, oh no, not this shit again. And, you know, J.D. Vance's book comes out And the problem of the hillbillies are the hillbillies with problems. And you know, the incest jokes. And, Jesus. And so, yeah, I get, like I said, a millionth of a percentage point. I understand that sense of exhaustion. I can't come close. I can't approach what the reality must be.
Well, it's like, you know, the whole, like with Jesse, you know, where you got people like Jesse L. Peterson and Larry Elder and, you know, Herman. Also, Herman Cain is going to be, there's something that they're talking about him being part of, you know, appointed secretary or something, you know, and it's just like, when you see black, it's hard enough to deal with what white people think about black people because, you know, that's just the way it is. But when black people talk shit about their own, it is just like, damn, homie, really?
Well, it's when they line up with the racists and the bigots to say, yeah,
right. You know, like,
I mean, there are plenty of valid critiques of the black community, and those are debates that are, you know, that are appropriately had inside the black community and needs absolutely no input from
none
me from at all.
Nope.
You know, it's like when I say I can't, you know, only Christianity can fix what's wrong with Christianity.
Right.
Nobody on I can't fix Islam. I can't fix Judaism. I can't. Now, if I want to sit around and talk about the problems in white mindsets, I got a seat at that table. But I mean, it's like that little dweeb, Noah Rothman. They brought him on yesterday on Morning Joe to continue a conversation, so he could try to sell his book some more.
Who is he?
He's this little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby who writes for Commentary Magazine, apparently got his start working with those two morning shock jock Zoo Crew clowns, Opie and Anthony. He's a William F. Buckley wannabe. And so he's written this book about how problems in social justice are the fault of social justice warriors, and how terrifying it is to be white and male in this country, because white males are the real new victims of discrimination.
That's bullshit that makes me crazy. It's just, you are not being discriminated against. You don't. It's like when I told you the conversation that I had with my brother-in-law about when he was talking about being, you know, stereotyped as, you know, as the older white guy and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you are. You're rich and you're Republican and you're white. Own that shit. You know, but, you know, but don't try to compare your stereotype, because that stereotype will never cost you your life. That stereotype won't have me. The other day when I was at Macy's, and it was me and this little old Asian woman, the only people in that department, and I walked, and she had her purse next to her on a table or what have you, and she, you know, happily doing her little shopping, but as soon as I walked by,
she snatched that purse up, didn't she?
Yes, she did, and I promptly told her, sweetie, I got my own money, okay? I'm not going to steal your purse. And I said, and look at me. Look how big I am. You could probably outrun me by, I wouldn't be able to get 2 feet before you were able to tackle me. So I'm sorry. I am not going, you know, don't, just because I'm black does not automatically mean I am going to steal from you. You know, that's that exhausting part. That's that part of it where you're like, fuck, people, you know. Stop, and it's not even people watching Fox News. That's just, like, it's just part of this country's DNA to automatically not trust a black person. It's just, as soon as you see me, you know, I'm not good, you know, I have damn good credit. I worked really hard to get that credit. And it's like, you know, I went from if there was possible to have a negative credit score, I did, to now I'm hovering 720, 730. Pretty damn good, you know. But it's, you know, but it's like, you know, I don't have to pay cash. You know, don't assume that if I'm paying cash for something, that I don't have to, that I don't have the credit. I just choose not to use my credit cards.
Because you're smart.
Yes, I'm not going to pay 18% interest for something that, you know, that I'm going, you know, for something that I can just go ahead and pay cash for. But it's like, it's just, you know, the assumptions that people make when they see me, when they see my son. And I mean, and it, even within the whole colorism thing, we were having, I was having a conversation. Does anybody in the room on this call watch Black-ish?
I have.
Or am I the only person?
I'm not a, okay, I'm not a regular viewer of anything.
I know you're not, because, you know, broadcast television. But there was an episode a couple weeks ago on Black-ish about colorism within the, the episode started off where the youngest daughter, they had the school picture, and they like, oh my God, they OJ'd my baby. In other words, they made her look darker than she really is. And but then it led into a conversation about colorism, not only within, you know, how different, how white people treat, you know, dark skin, light skin people, but how we treat each other within our community. But I was talking to somebody about how, you know, people don't think it's true, but my nephew that I had custody of when he was younger, pretty, light skin, curly, wavy hair, just a gorgeous young man. And we were constantly going to court for juvenile hall and all this sort of shit. But he did not get in the same kind of trouble he would have gotten into if he had been dark skinned. Because I kept telling him, I said, if you weren't pretty, you would be underneath the jail. If you were a dark skinned, nappy headed little black boy, you would have been underneath the jail. And there are actual studies, you know, that have actually been done on the disparities between white people and black people and prison sentencing, and comparing light-skinned blacks to dark-skinned blacks, their sentencing. So, I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I mean, I have to fight being dark-skinned just because I'm dark-skinned in this country with white people. I got to deal with it with my own folks.
You know what? That goes all the way back. Those of us of a certain age remember the early days of Saturday Night Live. And,
right?
Andrew Young having been mentioned. By the way, Ron and Raleigh sorted that out, Otto. You're probably thinking of Doug Wilder.
Yeah, that's it.
But Andrew Young was a guest host of Saturday Night Live eons ago, and they did a skit with Garrett Morris that was absolutely brilliant and could not be put on TV today. It was like a cable access show, Black Perspectives. And at the end of it, Andrew Young, who was light, and Garrett, who was dark, Andrew Young just blithely says, well, you know, Garrett, that's probably because it's a proven scientific fact that light-skinned blacks are more intelligent than dark-skinned blacks.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it occurs to me, oh, and let me just put this out there. We've got $155 to finish Shirley's Memorial Challenge to begin the first of the month, $155. Hopefully we can do that in the next couple of hours. But
do you seriously think that if Barack Obama was as dark as me, do you think he would have been the first black president of the United States?
How'd that work out for Jesse Jackson?
Mm-hmm. And Jesse,
and of course, I remember the Republicans who referred to him as a Half-African. A Half-African American.
Yes.
And the New Yorker turning Michelle into Angela Davis on the cover of its magazine. You know, the big old fro out to there, and I think she was holding an AK-47 or some shit. God almighty. People can't allowed to be allowed just to be who they are. But of all the people, I mean, I think this is actually a pretty decent conversation, and I really, really sincerely do appreciate your help, Tracy. And because help is what a bunch of white people sitting around talking about race need. But of all the people who are probably pissed off about this story finding its way into the news cycle today, you know the people who are doing that, I'm guessing? I'd say it's probably Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Stacey Abrams, and any African American who is actually inside the political process. Because since Ralph Northam's a Democrat, they're going to be called on to somehow explain it away. And the thing is, because this is a reality, it's a reality that Barack Obama had to learn from jump when he started thinking about wanting to be president. He is absolutely not allowed to be angry. Because that's another thing we do. That's another thing a racist society does. It cheats people out of the full spectrum of their human experience. So whether Kamala or Corey come out and either excoriate him or offer any sort of a defense, there's not going to be a right answer. And it will hang around with them like a millstone. And it'll whatever the response. Do you remember the beer summit with Obama?
See, the beer summit. The man was accosted. What happened was did they arrest him for trying to get into his house?
Yes.
and when Obama spoke out about it, oh my God! And then he had to turn around and have a beer with his asshole. Come on.
Right.
Like you said, this is it's you know. Like when you said the apology, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. So in other words, if nobody was offended, you wouldn't be sorry?
Precisely. That's the classic Republican non-apology apology.
So because people and you really wouldn't be sorry had you not been. You're just sorry because you got busted. You know, it's like, because if he was truly sorry about the, because he knew the picture was out there. You cannot tell me, let me take that back, because shit, there's stuff that I did in 1984 that if somebody said I did it, I'd be like, unless there's photographic evidence of it, I don't remember. You know, and even with,
worked for Ronald Reagan.
Right. Even with a picture. I mean, let's face it, a lot of things that, can you remember what you did 30 years ago? Fuck, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast this morning. So, but, you know, I can't.
Yeah, that reminds me of a line I saw earlier today, or yesterday. Somebody posted, if marijuana is bad for short-term memory, how come I always remember to smoke marijuana, huh?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. But what, you know, not to say, and you know, I am not excusing him for anything. However, I'm just thinking now, if you're a politician, now back in 84, whatever, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, there was no Instagram, you know, stuff disappeared and went along, you know, in the bye-bye. But how for never in this day and age with media's, you know, social media scrutiny the way it is, and if you're going to be in the public eye, shouldn't you hire people to, even if you don't remember anything that you did in the past or what have you, he could have legitimately forgot about the picture, but shouldn't you have people that will go everywhere and everything, any place you went to school, you work, or what have you, and make sure there ain't no shit that could come back and bite you in your ass? Because how hard could it possibly be? And if there is shit like this picture, you get ahead of it and say, okay, you know what, that was some dumb shit. I did it, and move on about your life. And maybe you shouldn't be in politics. Maybe you shouldn't be the governor. you know, but it's like the whole thing with Kevin Hart, with his apology, non-apology. It's like you, and his shit was recent. So it's like you, I mean, his stuff was on a Twitter, it was on a tweet. And it's like, dude, don't you have people to handle this shit? Don't you have people to say, you know, because especially once you get in, you know, in a certain level of notoriety, if I ever, if, I mean, because there's some stuff that I have done that I do remember. I mean, I remember a lot, you know, I've forgotten a lot more than I can remember. But if I ever, ever got into somewhere where I was in the public eye, or if I was going to run for office, or even before I decided to run for office, and I'm like, there, you know, I would have to have people in my camp to say, this is where I went to school. This every place that I ever went to school, every place that I've lived, every place that I worked, whatever. Go and make sure that, you know, there is nothing that will bury me. And if there is, let's get something and let me get ahead of it. You know, because I'm pretty sure there's a picture, you know, back when I was a dominatrix, I'm pretty sure some of those pictures are still on the internet somewhere.
Or if there is anything out there, just simply don't run. Decide not to run.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
you
can't take
well,
the
yeah,
risk.
Well, yeah, and Monique has an interesting perspective, and this is rock solid. Monique says, I would know if I dressed in Klan gear or blackface. Sticking up a middle finger at some point in time, not so much. But that's just me.
Yeah, and that's
in a damn picture
that he forgot.
At 25, studying to be a pediatric neurosurgeon.
That's what he is, a pediatric neurosurgeon?
It, bingo, wow. Yes. And by the way, a note came in a little bit ago from Darlene. I'm sorry, Kevin, I sometimes not ignore, but I forget that I've got somebody on the stress line. Kevin's in the conversation now in Colorado Springs. But let me go back to this note from Darlene in Connecticut. Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson is the subject line. While we're on this subject, what happened with the blackface done by Danson with Whoopi? I never understood what happened there. Why did that happen with Whoopi's seeming tacit approval? There was a rightful backlash and criticism of Danson when it happened, and not long after, their relationship crashed and burned. Whenever these stories about blackface come up, I always think about that scandal. Help me understand what happened there. It was a roast of Whoopi at the Friars Club. And Friars Club roasts are filthy, okay? It's like one long aristocrat's joke. What happened is, of course, Ted Danson shows up in blackface to MC Whoopi's roast and then went into an absolutely raunchy monologue. And he caught shit from New York Mayor David Dinkins. He caught shit from people who were used to what goes on at the Friars Club. But I think what turned the situation, because, I mean, he was way over there. I mean, it was nasty. And in blackface. And what came out later is that Whoopi wrote the act.
What?
Yeah, she admitted that she wrote the act. She wrote the monologue.
You know,
that thing was peppered with that word.
Nice. See, I've been an off and on fan of Whoopi Goldberg for years. And she has said some stuff that saying about when the whole Paula Deen thing came out, and she's like, you know, it was a long time ago, there's no, you know, blah blah. She was being an apologist for Paula Deen, and I'm like, when black people apologize for when white people gone wild, it makes me crazy. And Whoopi's a pretty good, she's apologized for Paula Deen. There was another instance where, I forget what the whole story, what the gist of the story was, but her and Sonny Hoyston had gotten into it about something, about appropriation and stuff like that, and about white people appropriating black culture. And her and Sonny got into it, and her, Whoopi's, you know, response was, well, black people appropriate white people's culture too. And I'm like, no, black people don't appropriate white culture. We assimilate.
I'm about to say, there's a big damn difference between assimilation and appropriation.
I don't appropriate any. There is nothing. What am I going to appropriate for white people? Not to season food? You know, not to be able to you know, clap on beat? Well, I can't clap on beat all the time, but most of the time I can. But
we had that conversation, you know, the other night.
Yeah, we had that conversation. But I definitely damn well season my food. You know, so there's nothing that I am purposely thinking, ooh, I want to do this because, you know, white people. My life in these almost 53 years that I have been on this earth was about trying to assimilate to make sure that nothing happened to me, that I could go about my business and just be left alone. It's about survival. It's trying to keep your head down in hopes that, you know, you don't want to cause too many problems. You know, I mean, now that I'm older, I don't give a fuck about causing problems to a certain extent. But, you know, that assimilation is, to me, is like, okay, you know, don't get too loud. You know, especially like when I'm out in public or, you know, what have you. I revert to, you know, the survival mode. Is it, except for what happened yesterday. I almost got into a fight with a white guy yesterday, and it was kind of fun. I was pulling into the parking lot at a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf over in Woodland Hills, and the white boy pulled into this parking space, so I'm going to keep going. And just as I'm coming around the bend, the motherfucker backs up and almost hits me right on my So I pull into my parking space, and he pulls into his, and I'm like, you know, smooth move there, buddy. And he's like, what? I said, you know, you almost hit me. Well, you know, he's like, well, you kept going. I said, of course I kept going, you dick. I didn't call him a dick at that point. But I'm like, of course I kept going because you pulled into the parking space. So how was I supposed to know that you were going to back out? And then he's like, he pulled a typical, well, why are you even a bothering me about this? I'm like, because it's my right, and because you almost hit me, and I would like for you to acknowledge that fact. And he's like, you know, just whatever. And I'm like, oh, he just whatevered me.
You did not just whatever me. Right.
You just whatevered me. And I wasn't, you know, typically I let shit go, but I was not in a good mood yesterday. And so we go into the Coffee Bean, and I'm still on his ass. I said, you know, forget exactly what I said. And he's like, what did he say to me? He's like, well, you know, we need to end this conversation. I'm like, no. And he said something, he's like, and I'm like, wait, what are you going to do about it? He's like, well, you know, it's not what I'm going to do. It's what somebody else is going to do. I'm like, what? They're going to call the cops? What, you're going to pull the white person thing and call the cops on me because I'm talking to you? I haven't touched you. I haven't threatened you. I'm just having a conversation with you. And so basically I went in because I had already ordered my drink. Got my drink because it was already ready, and walked out of the Coffee Bean. And like, okay, well, why am I even wasting my energy on this? So I'm on my way home, and then I didn't even realize it, but he was in his car behind me, pulling that, you know, pulling in and out of traffic stuff, stopping in front of me, you know, slowing down. I changed lanes. He changed lanes. I mean, this went on for like 2 miles, right? And I did not engage because I'm like, I am not about to engage, because if I engage, we're going to be doing our road rage thing down Victoria Boulevard. So just as I'm like, I'm going to ignore him. And then just right before he decides that he's going to make a right turn off the boulevard, then the asshole flips me off. I'm like, you dickless wonder. You know, this thing has been going on for 2 miles, right? But now that you're about to turn off the street and I'm in a lane that I can't turn and follow your janky ass, then that's when you decide to flip me off. I'm like, was that a bitch move or what?
Round here, Tracy, we call a fella like that a piss ant.
Right.
That is straight up piss ant behavior. By the way, got a note coming in from Lady B. Of course the governor was in the Klan robes. Think McFly. He knew that someday the white male greatness bestowed upon him by God and his son, white Jesus, was going to compel him to run for official run for office. What better way to be a racist and hide it than by wearing Klan regalia? Plausible deniability. Preach on, front porchers. Happy birthday to Otto and Bob. I turned 50 on January 1st. Damn, we truly OGs. Well, that's so cool. We've got a new member of the January 1st Club. You know, Bill Mr. Stress Miller was the first baby born in Cleveland, Ohio in 1944, I think it was.
Wow.
And Lady B says, I'm going to throw you a 10 in a bit. In the meantime, keep the faith, y'all. Folks are finally waking up. Like Miss Sophia said, things are going to start changing around here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Miss Sophia's back. Things going to start chasing around here. Okay, yeah, I did it.
Well, I was going to say that character who flipped Tracy off is just nothing more than a coward.
Right, because
he doesn't know how to talk.
Me. And see, what happened is the bottom line is I embarrassed a white man in Woodland Hills. I embarrassed a white man in front of white people no, I did not get a pumpkin spice latte, Bob.
Well, at least you owned up for it. See, that's that now right there. That is there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. You owned up to it before anybody could ask you about it. That's also what you do if there are pictures of you in blackface and or Klan robes.
Now I have a question. We were talking about the blackface earlier. Now I have a question. Is it racist if I put on blackface?
How would we know? Boy, I'm going to hell for that one, aren't I?
I wouldn't know. Fuck you. I'm not that dark.
Yeah, but that's the other side of it. It's fucking shoe polish.
Right. Why would you want to put that on your... I mean, because back in the day, they used cork. They burned the cork. And, you know, and that's what they used for blackface. But nobody's going to buy a bottle of wine just to get the cork to make blackface, right?
Right, and I mean, basically, I don't know if it's still burnt cork, but it comes in a tube, and it's like, kind of like chapstick. And athletes use it under their eyes to, cut the sun's glare. But it's just one goddamn stripe. And until Tim Tebow, who, miracle and wonders...
Is he still playing football? Is he still alive?
No, but he's going to marry a woman.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, no shit. Which, forgive me, I never saw that happening for him.
It's America, Bob. It's
America. It is clarity. It is. But that burnt cork stuff, he started putting Bible verses in his eye black. But you don't do your whole goddamn face in that. I mean, eons ago when I was doing plays in high school and stuff, I developed a... I got cast as a lot of old guys, and before we could find that silver hairspray, we whited my hair with white shoe polish, and it was disgusting. You know, the white shoe polish, like, you know, the liquid stuff that nurses use on their white shoes. Brush your hair and you go over it with the liquid shoe polish, you let it dry, you brush it, you go over it again. But even growing up in Alabama, I don't recall anybody ever in the schools I went to doing blackface.
Now, speaking of blackface, and I've been meaning to ask about this one, because we have at least once or twice a month, somehow some white person decides to be doing blackface, shouldn't be a problem. Tropic Thunder. Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Now, I have to admit that when the movie came out, I thought it was funny as hell. But in retrospect, I'm like, no. As a matter of fact, my sister was telling me when we saw each other in Vegas the other day that my brothers made her, the last time she was in Atlanta, they sat there and watched it, and my brothers were cracking up, and I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted with that one, because it's like it wasn't meant to be. I don't think it was meant to be racist, but I don't know. I really don't know. But they couldn't make that movie now. They definitely could not. But I'm just trying to figure out how they got away with it when they made it back. How old is that movie?
Oh, God. Well, that's like the Ted Danson, Whoopi Goldberg thing was 1993.
Because I'm like, you know, how did, because I think that Ben Stiller directed that. 2008. Why did he think that was okay?
Well, that goes to the larger issue of these decisions, and this is in no wise a defense of Ralph Northam, but there are other people involved in these decisions.
Right.
I mean, the editor of the yearbook, okay, or whoever's producing it. If some third year medical student wanted to use a picture of him standing without his hood in front of a burning fucking cross, would they have put that in there too?
Right.
But let's also put this in context, though, because not as an excuse, not as a defense, but it's 1984. We are we're less than 4 years removed from Ronald Reagan kicking off his first presidential campaign in the home of the Klan in Neshoba County, Mississippi, and giving his big states' rights speech. That was the beginning of the backlash, the white lash, against civil rights, against the gains of the civil rights movement. And it's back that, you know, you're only a couple of years before the rise of Flush Flembaugh. And so when we say Jesus Christ, it's 1984. Well, remember what 1984 was. Again, not as an excuse, but as a reflection of reality. And it's 1984 Virginia. You just got done reading Rainbow Pie, Tracy.
Yeah.
And much of that takes place in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia and redneck Virginia. Recall, you know, we talk about Alabama, we talk about Mississippi, but recall that William H. Seward, who was Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of State, he and his wife were going to go visiting, and so we're talking about, you know, horse and buggy, carriage, whatever. And so they said they were going to go visit some of their friends in the South. This is before the Civil War. And so they take off, and they're going through Virginia, and they're headed to God knows where. But they get into Virginia, and Seward is so sickened, so utterly disgusted by the miserable condition in which slavery was practiced in Virginia, that he and his wife turned around and said, fuck it, we're not going another mile in. We're going home. They could not even bear to consider it. So Virginia has an old and nasty history relative to its racist past. And for some reason, I guess we think that because, well, you know, Northern Virginia and Arlington and Alexandria but no, you don't have to go far out of the burbs of D.C. Before Virginia turns into Mississippi, and that's just a damn fact. So that's, you know, everything is part of it.
Everything is everything.
Mm-hmm. Because Kevin's been really patient. Hey, are you there? Are you there, Kevin?
I feel like I'm monopolizing the conversation. I'm going
to
shut up.
Oh, no, you're not. You're not. I asked you to. Are you there, Kevin?
Yep, I'm here.
I did not forget about you. I was just trying to find a space for, you know, to bring you in.
No, I was listening to the conversation and appreciating it. truthfully, though, Bob, it's not just Virginia. The whole country, with the exception of maybe a few states up north, has a racist history. There's no getting around how racist our country has been and still is.
Even those states up north don't get a pass, because slavery was legal in places like Massachusetts and New York for a very long damn time.
Yep. And you talk about the Confederate flags that are being proudly flown on the backs of cars, pickup trucks up in Michigan and Canada even, you know, and it's all over. And I guess troubled by what I see. I really don't see us getting any better. The fact that the Northam hasn't resigned yet kind of troubles me, because you'd think maybe he would have just said, I made him, like you said, if he'd have just came out with an apology that owned it. But I'm like Tracy. How can you forget that you did this 30 years ago?
Well, here's the thing. When all the Me Too stuff boiled out, and then that setup was run. Remember, Roger Stone tweeted, "Now it's Al Franken's time in the barrel."
Yep.
And they ran him out of the Senate. And it's just a fact. They did. It's not a value judgment. It just happened. But the wisdom that attended running Al Franken out of the Senate was that we were going to show that we were better than them. Well, mm-hmm. Look how much good that did.
Yep.
I mean, maybe it's a net good in the long run, but it didn't change Republican conduct. And so here we have... Like I said, that's 1984, and I can direct you to a photograph of Mitch McConnell from this century standing in front of a great, big, filthy Confederate battle flag and grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush.
Yep.
That is, you know, and that's maybe 8 years ago, not 35.
Yep.
Right? Ooh, look at me ciphering on the fly. But... here's what's going to, this is the other side of that coin. If Northam resigns and Lieutenant Governor Fairfax becomes governor, you think they're going to cut him any slack?
No.
Virginia Republicans will be caught using the N-word almost in a matter of time, an interval of time that cannot be measured by modern science. And then when they say, well, you should resign, well, no, because I'm sorry if anybody was offended. And so we find ourselves back in that same old goddamn I-O-K-I-Y-A-R cul-de-sac. They can, we can't. We do the right thing and say, well, we're doing the right thing. They don't. And they don't fucking care. You know, if the stump licker bunch comes up and punches you in the nose and you say, why, how dare you? I'll not punch you back. You know what the stump licker bunch does? They punch you again.
Yes, exactly.
And then they stomp your feet, make you fall on the ground, and then they kick your guts in.
Yep.
So if, I don't know. Will it do any good? Hard to say, but again, this is going to be played out on the national stage, and you know this. Damn, isn't it curious that they decide to break this story
on the first day of February,
on the first day of Black History Month, and on the day that Cory Booker announces his presidential campaign.
Exactly.
And is there a difference? This is further fodder for conversation. I thought announcing on the first day of Black History Month was kind of cool. I don't think it carried the freight of, you know, riding Martin Luther King's dead back that the other previous announcement did. But then again, what I feel about it...
I'm with Netanyahu. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she... Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I'm with AIPAC Harris. Where's her? She probably even have bumper stickers on her car. I'm sorry.
But you know what, Tracy, you're gonna be hard pressed to find anybody on either side of the political divide who doesn't kiss ass to AIPAC. Because if you don't, you get beaten.
We're all in bed with the Zionists. We're all in bed with the Zionists. You know.
Well, as Bob Dylan says, you got to serve somebody, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah, that was his. Yeah, and that was his. That was his Christian album. That was during his Christian phase.
That's true.
That was funny.
And Jesus.
Oh, by the way, we're down to only $105 to go on the chat. Wait, you do that way too well, Clarity. Time out. Let me do this. We're coming back. I got to have more of that. We're down to $105 to go, thanks to Charlene in Rogues Island. And wait a minute. There's Lady B. We are down to $95 to go. And so $95 in, say, 49 minutes. We might make it. It would be wonderful if we did. So, and remember, that's a challenge. So whatever you kick in gets doubled by virtue of Shirley's Memorial Challenge for this first day of February. Clarity, you want to go back to that Bob Dylan for a moment? I think this program really needed that.
If I stayed here with you, girl, things just wouldn't be the same.
Jesus Christ, Bob Dylan, Freebird!
Oh no!
And this bird you cannot change. No, I can't change.
Good God! Wait a minute. That's the first ever horn cowbell given for a Bob Dylan impression singing Freebird. You touched all the bases, Clarity. You just did.
Well, that's what it takes to break into this damn bunch on Friday. I just want to say that, was it Dennis that said he just turned 64?
No, that was Otto.
No, that's me, Otto.
Otto, okay, I don't think we've met. But anyway, I got my Medicaid card today, so I'm, you know, officially into geezerhood now.
Oh, great. You're 65?
No, I got it early because of my mental health. I got a disability.
All right.
Yeah, I've been on Medicaid since 2017, and I finally got my court decision on the 28th of November. So yeah. Now they're deciding how much they're going to take out for what little bit I made playing music the last few, you know. But...
Well, I was watching the Twitter feed on the people doing their taxes, and a lot of people are complaining. Hardworking people make between $45,000 and $75,000 a year. They're paying a lot more in taxes.
Oh yeah, the people in the middle. The people in the middle are really sucking up what the next bracket up is getting off of.
And what's costing is the open exchange for healthcare. The premiums. I noticed. It's gone up like another $500 for
some people. They've done everything they can to make people angry about the people that are getting, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, you know, getting medical coverage, and the insurance companies are socking it to them. And you know, they took the provisions away that, you know, they have to put 85% of, you know, the money back into the, you know, they took that off.
Well, the state taxes are—you can't write them off for some states, and it sounds like I don't know if the federal tax changes from state to state, but people were complaining in the Twitter feed that it seems like the blue states are the ones that are getting hit hardest.
That's not Otto. That's a reality. That was baked in. That was a deliberate act on the part of the Republican Party to punish people in the blue states.
Yeah, that's the limitation. I can speak to this. I'm a tax attorney, folks.
Yeah.
Go, man.
It's that bad. It's that bad.
Yeah, the tax reform, so-called reform at the end of 2017 that barely squeaked through limits the state and local tax deductions to a total of $10,000 tax return.
My friend in New Jersey is getting killed this year.
Yeah. I mean, property taxes alone in a lot of states might be anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 a year, just that alone.
Is the property taxes, are those deductible?
They're deductible up to $10,000 total, along with any state income tax that's withheld and paid.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
See what I'm saying?
That's terrible. So they put a cap on that.
The idea is to try to impoverish citizens of the coast, essentially the coastal states that have the higher state tax bases, because they offer people a higher standard of living, more services, you get more for your money as far as taxes go, and they want to basically reduce everybody to, let's say, Alabama stand, essentially.
Right. They're trying to starve
essentially the I guess people who live in blue states, and I'm going to owe a lot more this year. I'm not getting no refund this year, unfortunately. I'm going to owe.
Rick, did you say you were a tax attorney, brother?
I'm a tax litigation attorney, yes.
I've got a question for you. Do you know anything about independent contractors?
Yeah, you got to pay your own taxes.
I know that, yeah, but what is the difference as far as write-offs between this year and the last few years going back? I mean, I know we lost a lot. I mean, I used to be able to write off like a percentage of my mortgage and all that. Did I lose all that?
You can still do that if you're an independent contractor.
But I am.
But I think that what they eliminated mostly, Steve, is there was a 2% deduction. You had to exceed a floor of 2% of your adjusted gross income to deduct like miscellaneous expenses. And they totally eliminated that.
And Bob, this probably applies to you too, I would assume. But go ahead, Rick. So, is there anything else that I need to be aware of that's going to slam me? I used to be able to write off my internet, my phone, anything related to work.
Yeah, you can.
Pens and pencils, I can write it off.
I don't think that's changed at all.
Okay.
I mean, that's basically a business expense for you because you're considered to be self-employed. So you can write off
anything related to my business. Even if a commode went up and I had to call a plumber, I could write off a percentage of that because it's connected to my office, So none of that's changed.
That's a little trickier.
Getting into a gray area there.
Well, you know, the problem with taking a home office deduction is you supposedly have to use it, exclusively for
I'm only able to take off 30% or the amount of the office space that my office takes of the total totalitarian of my house.
I guess the point I'm making though is don't have your office double as like your exercise room, for example.
Oh no, no.
then I don't think you can really make
or get the big screen TV. There's my write off, gotta have it,
I mean, just keep this in mind, Steve. Right. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Absolutely. Okay. And I've got a great accountant, and if I do anything foolish, she'll put the brakes on me.
That's cool.
But I just wanted to know, I didn't know this was your wheelhouse, if there was anything that came out of the blue that I needed to be aware of.
Well, one thing that was done, folks, if you're an employee... starting at the beginning of 2018 to make the put more money in people's pockets the IRS changed the withholding tables to lessen the amount of withholding tax that was being withheld.
So in order to sort of fraudulently make it look like you were getting a bigger tax break than you got.
Right, exactly.
But doesn't that sunset?
Well, no, that didn't sunset. But
there's a provision that does sunset that where, you know, it was kind of a bone they threw to us working scrubs.
Well, and, yeah,
and,
I mean,
and the rich get to keep all theirs, and I'm not trying
to. I think the tax cuts I think were because of the way the budgetary rules were, they could only. The individual tax cuts, to the extent that there were cuts, would only last for 5 years, whereas the others were considered to last for like 10 years. Okay, okay. One of those deals. But the thing about the underwithholding, it's deceptive because you think you're having enough withheld from your pay over the course of the year, and then when it comes to tax time, you end up owing, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to the feds.
But generally, I. She's good. I generally I get I never owe, you know, and I'm hoping that I won't owe this year. And you raised an alarm when you said, "Damn it, they hit me this year, so maybe I ought to prepare myself for that," you know.
Well, you might be okay because if you're self-employed, you're probably making quarterly payments every 3 months.
Yep.
Estimated tax payments, and your accountant should be able to figure out what those are going to be. But if you have an underpayment. Then you're going to be hit with underpayment of estimated tax penalty.
Well, Karen and I files jointly. She works for the post office, and she claims zero. So I get thrown into that mix, and generally we get a refund. You know.
Okay. Just, good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be as you should be
about where I was last year.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this: what kind of state and local taxes do you have? That you have to pay. Are they high in Georgia or not? Probably not that high, huh?
Probably not as high as California. I would probably say 2/3 of what you guys pay.
Okay.
Does that
okay.
make sense?
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully you'll turn out it'll be okay for you. But
I'm not making this about me. I mean, this is about everybody. This is going to affect everybody.
Oh, I know.
Talking to you.
Yeah. No, of course.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
But that's what I heard, that in some states you can't deduct the estate income tax.
You can deduct it, but it's limited to a total of $10,000 per return per year.
Oh, I see.
And I can hear the radios clicking off. I mean, if you don't have a dog in this hunt, this is boring radio. Bob, and for that, I apologize.
What? Yeah, sorry, Bob, I dozed off there.
We can lose the green eye shades now, Bob, okay?
Can I recommend a podcast?
Please.
Certainly.
And it surprised me. It's the Cracked podcast. You know, remember Cracked magazine or whatever?
Hello? Where'd y'all go?
It's on iTunes. The Cracked podcast.
Okay. Apparently, you fell out for a minute there. Give the name of it again.
It's Cracked podcast.
Okay.
iTunes, and last week it was on the history of the Supreme Court, and there's been some real Lulus on there.
Oh yeah, I read about a guy back in the 1920s. He was irascible, racist, a Supreme Court justice. I can't remember his name, but he just. Anything that favored any kind of compassion towards black people, he would nix. He would vote against it. He's kind of like a Kavanaugh. He's worse than Kavanaugh. I can't remember his name, though. I should look at him.
Well, Jesus, finding worse than Kavanaugh in the history of the Supreme Court relative to race is like looking for hay in a haystack.
I come back
to that reminder, and I feel like I have to sort of drive it home from time to time. When we see something like this Northam story breaking, maybe it's a positive step forward that there are white people who go, "Oh Jesus Christ, no, really, this is horrible." Maybe that's a step forward. It's not a big enough step. It's not a far enough step. It ain't a fast enough step. It's just a step. But somebody showing up at a party in blackface in 1964? Are you kidding me? That's everybody in many ways. And never mind showing up at a party in a Klan costume. Klansmen, the real murderous terrorist, you know, and they're still with us today. You know, Klansmen don't think there's anything wrong with wearing their fucking Klan robes. Christ Almighty, I had that story in the first hour. Oakland, California. And the FBI said that the Klan was the victim.
Well, the FBI has had COINTELPRO in Oakland since the 60s.
Well, sure.
And, you know, it's there. Whether you want to see it or not, it's been there.
Right. And I just got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. And thank you very kindly to Suman. Sometimes PayPal puts last names first and first names last, and I apologize if I'm getting it wrong, but thank you very, very kindly. The fundraising goal is down to $85. We're at $85, so that's huge.
All right.
But Darlene said exactly, all caps, I felt the Ted Danson blackface debacle put the issue on the map in terms of how racist and inappropriate it was back in 1993. And yet it's still happening. You can't, and this paragraph. You can't tell me that $69 million severance package baby Megyn Kelly didn't hear about that scandal back in 1993. She was roughly 22 years old, and assuming she had an interest in being in media, she had or should have been tuned in. You know what? She was tuned in, but didn't give a shit. And 26 years later, she's 48 now, she got rewarded $69 million for her white-splaining. NBC should be getting as much shit for the payoff. Why can't these corporate conglomerate media organizations write into the contracts that if their anchors are let go or breach the contract for expressed racism in the course of their responsibilities, that they don't get a huge buyout of the contract? Oh, wait. Yeah. Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, etc. come to mind. The media conglomerates perpetrate the culture of bigotry and sexism until they're called out when the violations are so egregious and so public that they can't hide it behind closed doors any longer. Dang. And meanwhile, I just wanted to put this out there because let's have a show of hands. How many people knew that there were hunger strikes going on at the border?
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Nope. I didn't know.
Very vaguely, Bob.
Not a clue.
Well, there are. And ICE, Border Patrol, who the fuck ever, is now force-feeding them.
What?
Do you realize how much
Judge,
you have to torture?
What does that mean?
A judge ordered them to be force-fed.
Does that mean like they did in Iraq? You know.
Yeah, you strap them down and you strap them down and torture them and run a hose up their nose and into their stomach.
Well, in Iraq, they would run a hose up the other end, and they would consider that feeding. Are they gone that far? Or?
Yeah, anal feeding, they call it.
Yep.
It what?
Yes.
Oh, no. No.
Abu Ghraib, yes, they would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. They did do that. That was just plain torture. That's not feeding.
Well, it is torture, but they called it that, Bob.
I know. They called it that. But yeah, Clarity's right. A federal judge ordered force feeding.
Is that legal? I mean, how are you going to force?
Oh, man.
If the judge orders it, it makes it legal, Tracy, unfortunately. But the judge is probably wrong.
I can't imagine human rights. You kidnap their children, and now you're force-feeding them.
We started Gitmo.
And then we're
never
also...
Never turn back.
America, after all. Come on, it's America, Tracy.
Is there not a provision in the Geneva Convention for that?
Never signed it.
Yeah, we don't play that.
Did you hear the other report that there's more asylum seekers or more children and parents have been separated than the initial?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were lying all along, and they didn't stop when they were told to stop. This is a lawless regime that is not going to be that will not stop under or by means of any typically traditionally understood legal or political structure.
But they also mean...
And are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's people in this country, ordinary people like, not you and I, but ordinary people that think it's just okay to be doing all this. That's what upsets
them. Yeah, they think asylum seeking is a crime. Asylum seeking is not a crime.
Listen to Washington Journal in the mornings, friend. You'll hear them justify the unthinkable every morning. Okay.
Watch C-SPAN. Listen to the idiots
right.
on C-SPAN.
Man, right, that's what I'm referring to. C-SPAN's yeah. Washington Journal starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
7 a.m.
You have, right? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't know
yes,
it was Washington
ma'am.
Journal.
7 a.m. Thanks for correcting me, Tracy. I said p.m., but it's a.m. It would be 4 o'clock on the west side. But
and
you'll hear these idiots need rationalizing the unthinkable. They
yeah,
do
and
it day after day after day. And it
talking about
hiding myself nuts, yeah.
Well, speaking of lying bullshit with the lying eyes of the media, what's going on in Venezuela? The way the media is portraying it, because you had the protests, and they're saying that they're protesting Maduro, but what's happening? They're not showing the actual, the oligarchs and the people with money are the ones that were protesting Maduro. The people, the actual people who voted him in, there's a lot more of them that are, the ones that actually voted him in, there's like 100,000 or whatever. They're not showing those people. They're only showing the people that, are against him. And there's more people for him than there are against him.
True. Maduro, and right? The ones who are for him are very wealthy, well-to-do people who are...
Same as Brazil.
Yep.
Same as what happened in Brazil.
But what's Maduro's problem? Is it just because he inherited Venezuela was a mess to begin with? Was it because of Chavez?
Yes.
Well, and it's also because of the economic games we've been playing with him all along. We call them games. It's a form of monetary warfare.
Well, so what happened with their oil? The barrel oil went down, and so their economy suffered. But they didn't have very good infrastructure from the get go. I don't know.
Well, Chavez tried to enact some reforms by way of putting the land back in the hands of the peasant farmers. And this, of course, drove the capitalist world utterly bananas, just
right.
nuts, bonkers.
Like Guatemala.
It was also royalties for the oil that was being extracted.
Right. And here's Pompeo the other day, or was it Bolton, who admitted that
you forgot to say the first in his class of
that's right. Thank you. He graduated first in his class at West Point. But one of the it was either him or Pornstash, who just came right out and admitted, hey, we'd really like to take over Venezuela's oil with American corporations.
Yep.
So boom, end of inquiry.
And that'll be an easy win for this administration if they decide to do
and,
that.
And
they,
Bolton's walking around with a yellow legal pad on which he has scrawled 5,000 troops to Colombia.
It's
Psychops, Bob.
Didn't Colombia say, fuck Fangul, you're not coming to our country with that bullshit?
I do believe Colombia did say something like that, probably in Spanish.
In
Spanish.
What kind of nuclear waste did they transport to Nevada?
Plutonium.
About that. Hey,
what ounce is enough to kill everybody on the planet, and they were transporting 1,000 pounds of this shit. Yes.
And here's the fun part.
Here's
the fun part. How did they transport that shit? Did they put it in a plane that could crash? Did they hook up a few rail cars with a few oil bomb tankers? Did they put it in a big truck?
I would say a train.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
I'd say on a train.
And if it's a train, Clarity, that's every bit as terrifying as anything else. If that fucking thing, if that fucking thing had derailed, God only knows what would have happened. And again, our rail infrastructure, even for freight, is a damn mess.
Oh, I don't remember what the percentage of towns that railroads go through, right the middle, you know, middle of the town. Like the railroad goes right by my house and right by the high school, you know, right through the middle of town. And, you know, they only have three or four cars on there, but if it was Dilbit and, you know, something happened, that'd be enough to, you know, basically poison everybody in, you know, within a short amount of time.
Well, we had an incident in Oregon on Long Columbia River, a train derailed. It was an oil
train.
It exploded, yeah. It exploded, and the whole the town had to be evacuated. It was a toxic mess, you know. And it was because the railroad people, they said they inspected the rails, but they didn't look hard enough because they found one section that was faulty. So it's just going to keep on going.
Well, do you remember, of course, there's Lac Mégantic in Quebec. That killed a bunch of people. There was the bomb train explosion in Alabama. We had a bomb train blow up here in West Virginia.
Bomb carrying munitions for the army or something?
No. They're just called bomb trains. They're filled with they're filled with that nasty North Dakota sludge.
Okay.
And they burn like and apparently real easy.
It's very volatile. Yes.
Oh, really?
And they can be so long. And remember, no more cabooses, that the engineer actually cannot see the end of his train.
Jeez.
Great. So he doesn't know what's going on.
So, enough of the bad news and stuff like that. Just a quick break from some food porn. Hey,
oh, Bob, yes, please.
Did you see that picture that I posted in the chat with the place called Fried Madness?
No.
Oh, you got to open that up. You got to. You got to. It's this place that I guess the only they cook is fries, and they have all these wonderful toppings. They have buffalo chicken wing fries, Hawaiian barbecue chicken fries, hero fries, pastrami fries,
dessert fries.
I'm not fucking with the dessert fries. That's not.
No fried cheesecake.
They got, what is it, by the slice fries, local asada fries.
And that's L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Been there?
Got another place. No, as a matter of fact, Jan was watching the 11 a.m. broadcast of the news this morning, and she comes running. She's like, check out this place called Fried Madness. So I'm like, because Jan doesn't really get excited about a lot of things, if anything. So it's like, so I open it up. I'm like, ooh. Interesting. So we're going to make the only problem is downtown LA, and I hate going to downtown LA with a purple passion because it's like going to downtown in New York or San Francisco. There's just nowhere to park. I mean, or back up, there are places to park, but it's going to cost you damn near $30 to park. And I just,
oh man,
there's just something inside of me that refuses to spend, you know, $30 to park anywhere. So what we could just take the train down or Uber or whatever, but this place, I'm like,
oh, I'm looking at the spreads.
Yeah,
the sauces.
Oh, yeah, the sauces. What, let's see. What is it? Oh, we got sriracha aioli, which means mayonnaise.
Not really. Now quit that. It's thinner than mayonnaise.
Oh, spicy Thousand Island, that means mayonnaise.
Kind of does. And you know what? I'd be on that like a duck on a June bug.
And then we got chipotle mayo, more mayonnaise.
The chutney mayo. Jump back.
That, okay. Chipotle ketchup, lemon basil aioli, bell pepper spread, lemon basil. Man. So, yeah, we're going to have to go.
Yeah. Be curious. Just give it a chance. Fries with mayo are freaking awesome.
I'm not from Belgium.
No, because you're not, because you never stole my goddamn backpack.
They are good.
And then skipped away. little fucker.
Right.
These fucking skinny jeans.
Hey, skipping. JC, take a walk on the wild side.
Look, I just started putting mayonnaise on my sandwiches. You know, like I said, there's a history of the mayonnaise because when we were growing up, you know, mayonnaise sandwiches were the thing. And I you know, and black people in general have an aversion to mayonnaise. So I didn't, you know, but I do, like when I make potato salad, you can't make potato salad without using mayonnaise or macaroni salad or whatever. So, you know, the mayonnaise has always been a spot in my kitchen, in my refrigerator for mayonnaise. I mean, the mayonnaise will last forever because I never used it. And then Jen and I became a couple, so I had to buy mayonnaise. So, but, you know, there's certain sandwiches that you have to have mayonnaise for. You know, turkey sandwiches. You can't do a turkey sandwich with mustard. You just can't. What else? Turkey, ham. Well, you can do mustard with tuna, you know, and, you know, chicken salad, stuff like that. Okay, there have been times that I have had mayonnaise. It's just not my thing of choice. It's just not.
It's just the food porn curiosity in me that just chutney mayo's got to at least be interesting. Even if it's not delicious, it's going to be interesting. I'm betting it's going to be delicious.
It's, you know, like I said, I'm not feeling the desserts though. Because when I'm looking like the s'mores fries, cause see, and I think they use sweet potatoes, which means it just makes me think of white people when they make candy yams and they put marshmallows on them.
Well, see, we're different white people, Tracy. We don't put them on, we put them in. It's wonderful. We make sweet potato croquettes.
I'm with you there, Tracy.
And
what's a sweet potato croquette?
Huh?
Wait, like a salmon croquette? Like you fry it?
No, you mash up your sweet potato.
Uh huh.
And you take a marshmallow, and in the sweet potato you can add in, you know, pineapple or, you know, stuff. You're making the puking noise, Tracy. Now quit that. But you take the marshmallow, and you wrap the sweet potato mash around it. You roll it in melted butter, and then you roll it in crushed cornflakes, and you bake them. And so you get this crispy on the outside, sweet, gooey, sticky wonderfulness on the inside, and they're yummy.
If you could see my face right now, Bob.
We're not friends anymore, are we?
Oh, I still love you. And okay. Yesterday was your birthday, so you get a birthday, you know, you get a birthday pass. But, dude, seriously... Okay, I was going to cut you some slack when you said the marshmallow. I'm like, okay, you know, I love marshmallows. You can do marshmallows, can solve a multitude of sins, you know, because, you know, Rice Krispie treats and s'mores and stuff like that. But when you...
I don't know if I've ever eaten a s'more in my life.
Really? And isn't that the national food for camping?
Yeah. For like Girl Scouts, yeah.
Ah, okay. So, you know, but you messed it up when you put in the pineapple right on.
Well, no, it doesn't have to go in there.
But you mentioned the pineapple, Bob.
Well, I know you've got a pineapple thing. Yes.
No, I love pineapple. I love pineapple.
Okay, who hates pineapple? I know there's somebody that hates pineapple.
No, I love pineapple, but it's like it's right up there with when you were talking about the Toll. What I will never forget before is the Toll House chocolate chip cookies
with the coconut in it. It's the coconut. It's the coconut. Yes.
Pineapples are good for you, and they have stomach enzymes too, man.
No, I love pineapples.
They're great on a hamburger. And
you know what? I experienced pineapples. I love pineapple. It'll never be the same for me, though, because years and years and years and years ago, my sister and brother-in-law went to Hawaii. And, you know, you can bring back pineapples. And they brought back fresh pineapple, but because my brother-in-law has the greenest green thumb on earth... They grow them now. It takes a year to grow one pineapple.
Oh,
and they have propagated the cutting off of every pineapple that they've grown, and then they get another plant going. And I just happened to be down there this summer when I went down to New Orleans for Netroots Nation, when the pineapples came ripe. and I had sun-ripened pineapple for the first time ever.
Time in your life, wow!
It was like it was candy.
Was,
I mean,
was
it
Nirvana?
Was. It was it what?
Nirvana was it?
Yes, was it, I mean it almost had a vanilla quality to it.
I have a question. Speaking of vanilla, what is going on with the price of vanilla? Do you bake with vanilla? Do you use vanilla, Bob?
Oh yes.
What the fuck is going on with vanilla prices? I mean, out here it's like
some hedge fund guy got a hold of all of it and
cornered the market on vanilla.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll cause imitation vanilla to skyrocket too, because you know supply and demand. You can't win, man.
I went to the store the other day and it was like $26 for vanilla.
For real?
Fuck me! What?
For what? A little bitty jar?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously?
You know, like the small 1 ounce jars are like $7.
$26.
Because I was going to, you know, do baking ones for the holidays,
Fuck cookies this year, man.
Well, and you know, that's one of those little linguistic things that I always wonder about. We use the word vanilla to mean bland or plain.
Right.
Constant.
Or white people.
And vanilla comes from an orchid that only blooms once a year.
Really?
Oh wow.
And the vanilla bean is not a bean, it is the stamen or the pistil or whatever of that particular orchid. And it's another one of those debts that we owe to Native American culture. Really? Chocolate, vanilla, both were developed by Mesoamerican cultures. But there's nothing boring or plain or bland about vanilla. And then to make vanilla extract, of course, you have to... vanilla extract is basically a tincture of the vanilla bean.
Pour a cup of that in a pot of coffee, man, and it'll change the whole dynamic of it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Randy in PA says...
I would be pouring a cup of anything if something costs more than a half a teaspoon.
No, if it's $26 for a little jar, no, I'll be drinking my coffee vanilla-free, man. Jesus Christ.
Right. I kept looking at it like cinnamon. Because I was just like, really? I mean, I'm just surprised because of how expensive vanilla is now, especially during the holiday season, that there was especially with people who are, you know, serious cooks and stuff like that, that there was no stories on how, you know, why vanilla was so fucking hot. It was just like, I mean, like unreasonably hot. And I was just like, no. I mean, I couldn't even. I actually bought some vanilla the other day. And the only reason why I bought it is because every year around Christmas or whatever, Jan's company gives them $25 gift cards. And of course, this year it was to Vons or Albertsons, which I do not shop at either store. And I'm like, oh shit, I can use this gift card. So I bought vanilla because it wasn't actually my money. But I was just like, man. I mean, because I love vanilla, and it's about a lot of stuff that I make, my sweet potatoes, my cakes, whatever, you know, the recipe calls for one thing, I actually add more vanilla, but now, shit, I'm going to be sticking to the recipe, and like, taking the bottle and, like, squeezing it out, and, you know, putting it upside down to make sure all of
yeah, no kidding, you're scraping it, and, yeah. I don't know. Melt the bottle so that it'll right. I just had some food porn roll in via message. We're all headed to James's in Illinois. Crab cakes and green beans with baby Bella mushrooms on the menu tonight. They look yummy. Real yummy. And by the way, in my Otto, I know you are conversant auf Deutsch.
Jawohl.
The German word for mustard.
Oh, good one. I don't know. You could guess it. Just give it a German accent. Mustard.
No.
I can look it up.
No, I've got it. I've got it because in my birthday box o' meat, kindly provided by our buddy Reverbo and buddies Reverbo and Sonia, this is beautiful. Senf, S-E-N-F, is mustard. And it comes in a tube, not a jar or a squirt bottle. It's like a toothpaste tube, and it's pure genius.
Huh.
Why isn't all mustard in tubes?
Good point. Because a lot of it, the jar, when you have mustard in a jar, it always seems to settle. Then you have the water on the top.
That's why you got to shake it first, man.
Yeah, you got to shake it first or stir it.
But this stuff, you just, for 2 days running, and of course now it's gone, there's this German sausage called Debrezina. Or maybe. And
you got that for your birthday, right, Bob?
Yeah. Well, it's gone. It went first. Now we're going to start on, and you know, been snacking on the liver first as well too. But
VSS geschmeckt. VSS geschmeckt. How did it taste?
Super.
Toll oder gasmisch.
Hey, do we have time for a concert review, guys?
Yeah. Sure. Let me just wrap on the mustard there, because you know you can just roll it up from the bottom and just like a tooth. And God, it's delicious. On that Debrezina, hot pepper, that sausage is hot pepper and caraway seeds. And it's got a beautiful snap and a little bit of smoky wonderfulness to it. Holy cow. Oh,
Bob, before you transcend, I found your Cleveland mustard. And not from Prime either. You can get it from a gourmet store. It's online. It's not that expensive.
Okay, so. Good.
The mustard I can't stand is the Dijon mustard. It's got horseradish in it, and just it just gives me the worst burn in my mouth. I don't see how people.
Oh,
stand
I love Dijon.
I love Dijon.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh man.
Yeah.
Great coupon.
On some white cheddar, yeah.
Well, Kroger brand, Tracy. I mean, who do you think I am?
I'm just kidding. Before Rick goes into his concert review, and since this is the last time we're probably going to be talking to each other. Until after the Super Bowl, Rams or Patriots?
Oh, Rams.
Rams.
I want the Rams. The Patriots are going to win, I'm afraid.
If I had to plink money, the Pats, I'm rooting for the Rams.
Yeah, rooting for expecting the Pats.
I'm rooting for St. Louis. The Saints. St. Louis.
The Saints ain't playing.
Well, they brought that up in the news about that bad call, and the head of the NFL gave a speech about that.
Well, he said there's no going back. He said, yeah. Look, you know, these officials are humans, and, you know, you just got to
And if we start reviewing every call, Mike.
Yeah, if we dig into this, we'll find out the mob was in on it, and we just can't have that. Gotta make the spread.
Every call. Just think how long a football game would be. You'd be bored to death, man.
Oh yeah. Well, I am bored with football. There's only like three or four good plays, and the rest of the game just sucks, and you have to watch it. You know, and I would never want to go to a football game. It's just too obnoxious. But then
maybe give the coaches like a purple flag if they wanted to review a bad call. Give them two purple flags or something. that might work. You know.
Well, and see, that's the problem. There's a penalty on every play.
Yeah, right.
I think you can't get around that.
I think the colleges have a right.
That's what you get away with. That's the name of the game.
I still remember that one game, the Cubs, where that kid, he reached his hand out to grab
Bartman.
The crowd was just, they wanted to lynch that kid. I felt so sorry for him.
And that
yeah,
kid
not probably not the best word. Probably not the best word to use there, Otto.
Railroad him.
There's a doc on that. There's a whole documentary. It streams somewhere about that whole episode.
Wait a minute. One second. I got a cowbell to give out. That's for Steve in New York, who says, "Wait, is mustard the internet?" It's a series of subject line: mustard in tubes. Yep. Right. Yeah.
There you go.
Very good. And we got 7 minutes to make up 85. Okay, 6 minutes. 6 minutes to make up $85 and finish the challenge.
All right, Rick. Let's run.
Right. Hey, folks, contribute to this program. It's well worth it. I mean, it's got so many shits and giggles that, you know, it's like well worth it.
Yeah,
you know.
I love this better cake. How much we got going again, Bob?
85 to go.
Shit, I can go 10. Well, let's make it 75.
Okay, thank
all
you.
Right, I'll throw another 10 in there. Okay.
Okay, that's
all
65. Right, cool. We got 65. Can I hear 55? 55, 55. Got 65, need 55.
I commit, but I have to upload money to YouTube. It takes 3 days. So I'll commit next week.
Okay. Well, no worries.
Well,
but
let's do Happy First Day of Black History Month challenge for $20.
Oh.
Beautiful. Tracy, thank you. So Tracy's Black History Month challenge is on the table to finish the challenge, and that would get us down to only 25 to go if somebody will match that. So nice. we got a 5-minute $20 challenge courtesy of Tracy for Black History Month. And by the way, for Black History Month, I always think about this because it means something to me, and you know, attention must be paid and memory must be served. We have Black History Month, something that I love every year because I get to learn new things. We have Black History Month because of a hillbilly. Did you know that?
Who?
No.
Carter Woodson. Carter Woodson.
Oh, yeah, Carter Woodson. Because you know what? When you say hillbilly,
Bob.
I think white people. So I'm like, wait, what? So I'm Carter Woodson, yes. I mean, and it was Black History Week. Well,
you know,
actually,
who's
Negro History Week. And then
you know who's
wasn't a Gerald Ford, Mr. Wyndham, turned it into a month, right?
I believe so, yeah. But Carter Woodson was, among other things, he was a clerk in a grocery store or a general store, and he was a coal miner.
Hmm.
And then he busted his ass, absolutely determined to pursue an education, and eventually got out of Appalachia, became a world-renowned scholar, and began the process of unforgetting, of dragging Black history, African-American contributions to the culture and the country and the world back up out of the memory hole. And here's the sad thing. If we were to put up a statue to him in West Virginia, it would not be there for 24 hours before it got spray painted with that word.
Mm, geez.
How do we know this? Because it's happened twice before. Mm. Down in a little community called Malden, Booker T. Washington was born. So they thought it would be a fine thing to put a bust of Booker T. Washington in Malden. Well, he's at the state capitol now where they can't get at him with the spray paint.
Oh, geez.
Because they did. They also put up a statue of John Henry the Steel Driving Man down at the Big Bend Tunnel, which is in West Virginia. I think he's got a fence around him now.
Oh, jeez.
Because, you know, because spray paint. Because that word.
Are you fucking kidding me, man?
That's ridiculous.
Down in a little community in Alabama where Jesse Owens was born, the great Jesse Owens, put up a statue. Boom, spray paint, that word.
Hey, Bob, you know, I bet you if they put up a statue of Hitler in that town that it wouldn't get spray painted.
Well,
nope. I'd go after it with a goddamn sledgehammer, but that's
me. Well, I'm just saying that okay. It would get damaged, of course, I guess, yeah. But
can I mention somebody off the record? I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention before we close that today is Langston Hughes' birthday, and I always remember his birthday. He, African-American poet, born February 1st, 1902. So a moment of silence for him. He'd be 117-year-old today. What's that?
And he was gay.
Oh, he was gay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I saw Elton John in concert on Friday night.
Yeah, EJ.
Sir.
Excellent.
And the guy can really still bring it. I mean, he
From your pictures, he looks great, Rick.
Yeah, he sounded tremendous. Jeez, I mean, you know, he's been doing this 50 years, and you know, had some good stories to tell. I guess one story is that when he and Bernie
Taupin were English, a couple of English nobodies, I think he said. Aretha Franklin decided to do one of his early songs. I think that was Border Song. Is that the one that goes, "Holy Moses, I have been removed"?
Yeah, I think so.
So apparently she decided to do that song, and they were like totally floored. And whenever they saw her, they really thanked her for that. And and it turns out that her birthday is the same as Elton John's, so they shared that as well. But he said that he's been doing this business like for 50 years, and it's really hard to trust people in the music business. But he does trust his songwriter Bernie Taupin, who he's been partners with like.
Oh, Bernie Taupin is just amazing lyrics.
Yeah. The lyrics were tremendous, and he said that he's been doing this 50 years, and in all the various incarnations he's had, that the band he had was probably the best. And I must say, I agree with it. And, he did a really, every song was really great. I mean, he did pretty much all the hits,
Benny, tore it up, huh? I bet it was a great show.
Tiny Dancer.
Well, I guess Irwin is going to see, I got an email from Irwin today. I got an internet.
I got me one of them internet tube skirt things,
Yeah. But Irwin, you're going to see Richard Thompson, are you? And he's playing in L.A.
Yeah, he'll be in L.A. And about a week after here, I think. So
nice. I'm gonna see Two Dog Night in a few weeks.
Oh, cool.
Three cool. One of the dogs died.
Wait, is it Three Dog Night?
Yeah, one of the dogs died. They're still billing themselves as Three Dog Night, but Corey Wells croaked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, last weekend, my sister took her old white husband to go see Van Morrison. Did I tell you how much? We had this discussion about how much those tickets were.
I bet they were high as hell. He's got severe stage fright. It almost ruined his career.
Who, Van Morrison?
Yes.
He's doing a hell of a lot of touring because he's been in L.A. every year for the last five years.
Maybe he discovered booze or something.
I think what happened is it's called money, I think.
No, it's called Ativan.
Ativan, yeah.
There you go. Did they like the concert, Tracy?
I'll say what?
Did your sister and her husband enjoy the concert?
Yeah, she did. And I said, and Rachel texted me. I asked her how the concert was because I was sitting at the poker table losing my ass. And she's like, well, I was one of three black people. That said, stop lying. You know you're the only black person there.
which is kind of odd because Van Morrison, for a white dude,
he can sing.
Can bring some soul.
Yeah, he's a good singer.
Right? As a matter of fact, I was going to go to the concert until I found
sure.
And here's what's the funny part. I just got an email from Harris or Caesars Entertainment offering me tickets to go see Van Morrison.
Nice.
But it's during the middle of the week, so I'm not going.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to see Tom Jones. That old pastor's going to be 80 years old. What? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to
be Atlanta Symphony Hall in May, yeah. If you don't croak between here and there, I'm going to go.
No, don't say that, Steve. Don't say that. Come on.
Have you ever seen him?
Don't use your powers.
That's your wheelhouse, right?
I know.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I had the privilege.
I've seen Tom Jones in concert.
Did you? Did you throw your underwear at him? Or?
No.
I'm afraid when I go, they're going to be throwing the pins at them,
The last concert that I went to, this little old lady on the walker went up to the stage and threw her granny panties on the stage.
Well, he looks great.
The concert just stopped. Tom Jones, damn near, he laughed so hard, he almost passed out.
Oh, jeez.
What I'm mad about is about 3 years ago, I think, Rick, you might have remembered this, and I didn't even realize it until after the fact.
Yeah.
Tom Jones and Van Morrison did a concert together at the Hollywood Bowl, and I didn't know about it and missed the concert.
Tom Jones did a few songs with Van Morrison at the Shriner Auditorium near USC.
Well, so I'm hopeful Mary Clayton will be backup singer or something with him. You never know. I may get a twofer, man.
Hey, you never know. Yeah.
Tracy turned me on to her. My God, she's a goddess. That woman can sing, man.
Yes, she can.
I mean, it's amazing how good these people are, you know, long into their lives, like 50 years on. It's like, wow, man, I never imagined that possible, you know?
I had the opportunity of watching Duke Ellington perform in Portland, Oregon, 1972.
Oh, wow.
That was amazing.
Wow.
That was amazing. Yeah. And I've got, you know, he goes way back to the early 20s, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's got every old 78.
I saw Etta James. Now, she was, this is before she got really sick, but she was at the Hollywood Bowl, and she comes out, she was in a wheelchair, but the show was still amazing.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Etta James, you know.
Yeah. So. You know, the thing that struck me about Elton John is he's just a really nice guy. He loves the adulation, of course. And, I mean, the guy can rock. I mean, he's got a hell of a voice. He's got a real bluesy voice. You know, it's not just a pop singer.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him three or four times. Last time was probably in 90-something, but he was good then. And he just
I saw him
better, you know?
Yeah, I saw him previous to this show. I saw him 34 years ago in Iowa City, 1984. It's like, wow.
Well, you know? Nice.
Elton John is done.
And he's just as good, if not better. He's probably better than the show in Iowa.
But he's a AIDS awareness guy, too. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he quit
drinking, too.
He lives in Switzerland. Yeah, he wrote a song called Believe that he sang, I think, at the time he was recovering, like in 1999 or whenever it was that he stopped drinking. Maybe it was 94, I don't know.
Habitual booze robs your voice, man.
Yeah. Well, I learned that when I go karaoke-ing if I drink too much.
Unless you sing bass, then you can drink and smoke all you want. You know?
Unless you're Keith.
Keith.
Hey, great news to report. Tracy, your challenge was met. And so I got a whole bunch of thank yous with which to end the program. Thank you to let's see here. Let me get everything updated. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you to an anonymous friend. Thank you to Charlene. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you to our buddy out at West Mesa Photography, thank you very, very kindly. Thank you as well to you, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to James in Illinois. So there we go. We met Shirley's Memorial Challenge for the 1st of February, and I cannot tell you how awesome that is.
That is, especially with February being a short month, you know. Think about it. It's 10% shorter than most months, you know.
So this isn't leap year, then?
No, this is
not a leap year. I was mistaken. Next year's a leap year.
Think about it. It's an odd year.
That's right.
Clarity, they've all been odd since November 2016.
Yeah.
Before you go, Bob, does anybody else feel ripped off when they write their mortgage check or any monthly check for February? Because, I mean, it's 10% that they're getting, you know.
Well, you know, to talk about ripped off, I mean, I know there were other reasons for doing it, but why couldn't Black History Month have been a 31-day month instead of a 28 one? It's not like there's not enough history to fill 31 days.
Or why couldn't they spread the days out over the month?
It's the 3/5 deal, Bob. That's what it is.
Oh, February's 3/5 of a month?
No.
I know. I get it. Yeah.
Well, you know, February is the...
Just like
February
Obama was only president for 3 out of his last 4 years of his last term, right?
Well, just like he was only allowed to do 3/5 of the things a white president would do, appoint Supreme Court justices.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Not have this idiot like Mitch McConnell. Did you hear what he said about the voting bill that the Democrats wanted to put forth?
He's a fucking moron.
Yeah.
There was an election.
He brings up a one-week vacation. The next thing they want is a one-week vacation. Don't the federal workers have an?
That's totally bullshit. There was a law professor on election law at his state university, University of Kentucky, who rebutted his statement basically, you know, word, but you know, point by point, and said, hey, he can come and, you know, he can come to my classroom anytime, you know. And he was basically saying that the idea behind these reforms is to make it easier to vote. You have automatic voter registration, so you don't have to worry about registering. You know, you do it like with through the DMV or whatever, and felons can vote again, and you have a holiday at least for federal employees. And so I guess he basically said, well, why is Mitch afraid if more people are voting? What's the problem there with having
well,
more,
and speaking more of, and speaking vote? Of chinless Mitch, as we go into the weekend, and like I said, the Ralph Northam story will dominate a lot of discussions. So, and not by way of excusing Ralph Northam's conduct. Let's begin that it is odious, it is disgusting, it's revolting. But if you happen to run across some Republican that said, see, Ralph Northam, Democrat, Klansman, blackface, it is okay to say, and this is not excusing it, we can say, you know, it's disgusting. It is absolutely revolting. And it happened in 1984. Now let's talk about Mitch McConnell standing in front of the Confederate fucking flag just a couple of years ago. Want to talk about that? You want to talk about it? Let's talk about that.
Oh, wow. Let's talk about
that. Hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Yeah, this story is going to give Hannity a hard one.
Oh, it's going
to. It already has.
I'm sure
they're shot his wad by now, I think.
Jesus Christ. I'm sure Laura Ingraham's over there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda singing We Shall Overcome right now.
Hey, Bob.
Great show, Bob.
What was,
real quick.
Yeah.
About this Russia nuclear deal that they're pulling out of, just a thought I want to leave with over the weekend. Is this some ploy by Putin and Trump in a way to, like, say, a mock warfare to keep Trump in the presidency? Like, Putin will only deal with Trump.
I don't know. I guess we'd have to see. But one of the things that is inescapable is that we know, going back for several years now, back into the Obama administration, that the Russians have been cheating on it all along. We also know that, among other things, you know, they ballyhooed their hypersonic cruise missile. And this is, you know, this is a treaty regarding medium-range land-based missiles, and it doesn't affect airborne or seaborne launched missiles. But in the final analysis, it's no benefit to the United States because we're not making them. We're not developing.
And they're working on some sort of secret, uncatchable stealth missile.
Hypersonic, exactly.
So, I mean, just Trump in the word nuclear in the same sentence is frightening enough. And then this, I think it's...
Oh, that crazy little bastard wants to see the... he thinks of them as fireworks. Remember, this was before he was even in office.
Well, why do we have nuclear missiles if we can't use them?
Yeah, and then he did the mine is bigger than yours with Kim Jong.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, bigger missiles.
And I have a burning question since we're going into overtime. Why didn't Nancy Pelosi extend her invitation to February the 19th? Just to see where his ego was really fucking at, man. That would have probably saved a lot of government jobs if he goes on a temper tantrum and shuts things down again.
I don't, Steve, I don't see him as having the stomach for another shutdown. He's going to declare a frickin' emergency at the border.
Oh, well, and you know, because it's all, and because it's all one long reality show, Rick, he's already pitching his State of the Union. He wants viewer numbers. They asked him today about a national emergency, and he said,
I think there's a good chance we'll have to do that. We have very strong legal standing. You'll hear the State of the Union, and let's see what happens.
So now people are thinking that he's going to announce the state of emergency. It's a State of the Union.
My point is, if he would have pitched it to the 19th, he would have been able to close the government down, or Nancy could have disinvited him again.
That would have been a good tactic, I think, so, on Nancy's part. But but the thing is, she can't look.
Yeah, small. It would have looked too in your face.
It would have looked petty.
When that emergency fails, is his line going to be the beauty was in the attempt for his base? I don't see the whole point of it.
Well, he sat there lying yesterday. Oh, we're already building lots of wall. It's coming along.
He's been saying that.
And it is a bald-faced lie.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, the reporters don't call him on that. They don't say, "Wait a second, Mr. President, where is it being built exactly?"
Oh, and by the way, there's talk that he's going to send 5,000 more troops to the border.
For what?
Oh, because another caravan.
Ah.
the likes of which we've never seen, right?
The biggest, scariest caravan of women and children the world has ever known. I only have the scariest caravans.
We cannot get rid of this asshole quick enough, man. Some way
he was talking about mobile
non-violent
walls.
Walls. I'm sick of hearing about fucking walls too, man.
Well, he said you can call the wall anything. Call it peaches. And so Steve Carell last night or the night before was like, it's the peaches.
The peaches. Oh, jeez.
The peaches.
Yeah, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled them with the peaches.
Not proper.
I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to start off on another tangent. I just wanted to get that off.
Oh, no, that's cool, Dennis. Yeah. That's cool. And by the way, I sent a note to Brother John Bridevo to tell him about using the link to get into the room. I don't know if he saw the message or not, but hopefully he'll be back for Friday on the front porch next week.
Yeah, Big John brings a lot. Thanks, Bob, for extending the show, man. Really appreciate that.
Oh, it was a blast, and thanks everybody for meeting the challenge. That was just awesome. And Tracy, thanks for getting the ball rolling. And Steve and Rick, thank you so very, very much. So we're good. And that is awesome. I hope everybody...
HNIC, every so often.
Yeah, and so everybody enjoy the Super Bowl if you watch.
And if you don't, this book I have in the Dreaded Comparison, check it out. It's a good book for Black History Month. I used it in my graduate thesis.
Comparison?
Yeah, it's about the comparison of how we've learned how to handle animals from the slave trade. And it's, it's what it says. It's a dreaded comparison, and it's kind of frightening, but it's really cuts radically to what, we've done with a race of people to conquer the new world.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, it sounds interesting. It does. I love that sort of stuff. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks to the Friday on the Front Porch group. And thanks, Sparky, for moderating. And thanks to Sparky and Steve for running, moderating in the chat room. And the chat room was a rousing delight this evening, too, along the way. Thank you to all of you who keep this little program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thanks to Kevin for joining in from Colorado Springs on the stress line. Thank you especially thanks to Tracy for putting up with me and providing much needed balance and cohesion to a topic that it really is a minefield. For white folks, and there's always a risk of white splaining and white mansplaining. And thanks for saving my ass from that, Tracy. And thanks to other members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who are part of the community of color for their thoughts. Thank you, Monique. Thank you, Lady B. Thanks to Alexander, and thanks to Hung Like Jesus, who got it, who got the ball rolling by introducing the topic early in the program. Thank you, one and all. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little ongoing experiment in conversation. Thanks so very much to Brother Deacon Asa, who did some excellent reworking of the web page, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Rams.